and welcome to this week's episode of the Swap Meet Podcast. My name is Danny O'Hanlon.
My name is Niall McCann.
And I ate a large pizza before I came over here, and I'm feeling a bit...
Oh, I haven't...
I'm hungover, and now I'm thinking I might have a heart attack.
In the pizza sweats.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
The dough sweats.
Yeah, why don't I go large? Medium is more than enough.
Oh, I don't even get... Where?
Well, Domino's.
Because you're just
excited. I had fucking all big plans of going to Mazzoni's, support local business and all that, and then it's snowing.
Yeah.
I was in the house, I was learning a few tunes for a music thing I'm rehearsing, and then I was like, oh, fucking, I'm just going to Domino's is next door. I'm just going to it.
I would never get a meat. I get the wee personal pizza.
And really?
And the meatballs, yeah.
What do you mean? A meatball side kind of thing?
It's a deal for two, yeah.
Domino's meatballs.
Anyway, they're all right.
Are they?
All right is exactly what they are. I'm still not recovered from my own meatball experience.
Did you clean the bottom of your cooker?
It's all smeared now, though, the actual front of the oven. You see that? I think I should just take newspaper to it.
Newspaper and was it water with vinegar in it?
Oh, is that what they do?
I think so, yeah.
That's what they do, is it?
They. The housewives.
Yeah, the new housewives of Dundalk.
Yeah.
But, so why you were hungover, right, last night?
I'm a touch hungover. Well, I wasn't. I was in the wee house with a couple of lads. Conor McGrath and Paul Cronin was over from Scotland for a few days.
Very good.
And the wee house is one of those pubs, though. Like, we were there. I didn't drink very much, but it just doesn't take that much for me to get hungover. Like, you know, and I was kind of like, I think I left the house at 9:30 saying to Kat, I won't be out that long, it'll be an hour or so. I looked at my phone, it was like nearly 2 a.m. I was like, we're still fucking serving, like, you know.
Okay, careful now. 12 a.m, I believe you meant to say that.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say.
It used to be my dad's local, yeah.
It's a nice pub, I love it.
Yeah, I like it, it's an old man's pub.
Yeah, but that's why I like it.
Yeah.
And they had the one of those, you know, those music channels way down the dial on the Sky channels?
Oh, yeah.
One of those music channels on, that was just like the best of the 80s, and it was like... stuff coming up that we were like admitting, oh, I actually kind of like this song, that kind of stuff. Yeah, don't you forget that.
Big one.
What were we talking about? Is it One Day in Paradise? Phil Collins?
No, think twice.
Yeah.
What's the next bit?
It's just another day in paradise.
No, there's more to it.
Something, you and me in paradise. Do you know what? I don't have my notebook out. I need to make a note of when we put the clips on.
It's very important that you get that notebook down.
Yeah, it is.
There's a young fella, like an intern, started with us at work, and we were chatting, like, and I asked him, what music are you into? And he said 80s. So naturally, I'm in my displeasure felt.
At least he didn't say, oh, everything. I hate it when people say that. Oh, I like everything.
He did it first.
Do you like everything, really? Venezuelan techno banjo freakouts. You like them, do you?
Tibetan throat chanting.
Yeah.
Can't get enough of that shit.
It's just it's just like, you know, it's an unpopular...
I wasn't really slagging him.
No, of course not. But even if it's an unpopular genre and you think people might laugh at you for it, fucking die by the sword, say it.
Fuck it.
No, everything. Really.
I have my line, I say, leathery old men with cracky old voices.
That's a good...
That's what I say. What kind of music do you like? Leathery old men with cracky old voices, sir.
I think, what do I like?
You are kind of an everything guy, though.
But I have certain boundaries where I'm like, no.
Country and Irish?
Country and Irish. Can't find anything to enjoy in there.
Can't believe.
Smooth jazz.
What about Horsing Into You, Cynthia?
I don't even know what it is.
Surely that'd turn you.
Turn my stomach.
You're the onions in me burger, you're the sugar in me tea.
Do you not know that one?
No, I don't.
I've never even heard
of it. So, Horsing Into You, Cynthia, for you, the girl for me.
I've never, no, but I'll certainly look it up.
You found Zig and Zag last week.
Oh, yeah.
I was well impressed.
It's not on Spotify, it was on YouTube.
Quelle surprise.
It was,
it's French. It's just kind of classy shit I'd be up to.
Was that thing at the start of that song an ABBA sample? It sounded like it was from, like, what's the ABBA song that uses that?
I don't know. How does it sound? How much like? No.
Nothing? No.
No.
But,
I don't mind ABBA, but
it made me smile to listen to it, though. It was like, I haven't heard this in, like, literally, like, I had it on tape when I was 9.
It was like surprisingly political, I thought.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
This was basically a pop song sung by two children entertaining puppets about the Maastricht Treaty.
That's Zig and Zag for you,
I have to love Zig and Zag.
Yeah.
Dustin got 4% of the vote in the presidential election that Mary Robinson won.
4%?
4% Dustin got.
I feel like those votes could have been better used.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's kind of an achievement for a TV piece of felt.
Bringing the dark to Dingle. What if he had a won?
Well,
what if we all collectively decided for the laugh we'll vote in Dustin? Like, he's not a... How did they register him? He's not a real person.
They were wrote in. They were 4% of people.
Oh, just wrote Dustin on the ballot. The ballot.
Anyway, we'll see soon enough. That's basically what they did in the States, isn't it?
Apparently so.
Mm-hmm. I think he's made out of old orange skins.
Yeah. It's fashioned from old fruit peelings.
Old fruit peelings. Belly button fluff. Do you remember Zig and Zag?
Yeah, I do.
Zig
remember
used to collect belly button fluff, I believe.
You know what? I had the tape with Zigzagging Around on it, and on the other side was 1992. But there's a whole album of that stuff. I never listened to the album.
I don't know that I did myself. Tijuana Gypsy was good.
But that's three. Like, there has to be at least fucking 10 songs on that thing.
Well, Dustin had a load of albums. Like, even after they left, Dustin kept the albums going.
I never liked Dustin as much. I don't have nothing against him, but I just never found him as entertaining. I always found Dustin kind of annoying.
Well, he was a supporting character that, you know, had center stage thrust upon him more than anything
that's
else.
True,
to
yeah.
me, like,
like the episode of the Larry Sanders Show where Larry Sanders is sick and Hank has to host the show. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah,
he comes across like he's really nervous at first, and then he's kind of likable because of his nerves, and then the next night...
Yeah, but then he turns... Yeah.
Yeah, he gets drunk with power. That's a great show.
Larry Sanders is good. I went through a phase of watching a lot of it there.
It's very good. It's kind of uncomfortable, some of it, but...
Some of it is uncomfortable, but it's a lot of it is very good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, Niall, this is the Swap Me podcast.
That is indeed what it is.
And every week, we get together, having swapped some... Oh, I made walls of it. Each week we swap pop cultural artifacts.
That's what we do.
Films, TV shows, albums, the like.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about it here in the house. I made balls of it again, but people get the idea.
Not to worry, everybody knows.
Yeah. Every comic is someone's first comic.
Oh, that's true.
I watched Spider-Man Homecoming the other night.
Oh, what did you make of it?
Long.
Do you think it's long?
Really long, but it was good. I thought it was about time they made a fucking Spider-Man film with a teenager in it.
Yeah, it was.
It really made all the difference.
Is he a teenager, yeah?
Well, I mean, he's supposed to be.
Yeah, he's probably about 25.
Yeah, he probably is.
I don't know. Maybe he's not.
And speaking of actors playing teenagers, we...
We're segueing straight in there. Yeah,
but what did you make of Spider-Man Homecoming?
I thought it was grand.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
It had that one amazing scene, I thought, where he arrives to take your one out to the homecoming.
I didn't see that coming. Spoilers, Frank.
No, neither did I. Yeah, spoilers, Frank. I'm going to try and dance around it, but there is an amazing scene when he meets her father, and all of a sudden there's this enormous threat, and you're kind of like, oh my god.
I did, yeah, that was very well done. I didn't see that coming.
In fairness, that's probably the best thing about the film.
Also, experimenting with an attractive Aunt May. What'd you make of that?
What did you make of that? Yeah. I had nothing against it.
They didn't seem
to be...
An awful
soft spot for Marissa Tomei.
Everybody does.
Yeah. Is it just my cousin Vinny, or...?
Well, she's in lots of good stuff. She was in...
Shipping News.
What was the one... Crazy Love, what's that called?
Crazy Stupid Love.
That's a good movie.
It is a good movie.
I like Kat put it on one day and I was like, ugh, really? And then it was
I loved it.
This is really good.
Yeah,
you know?
I really liked it, yeah. I kinda was half gonna swap it there a while back, but I don't know that I would have anything to say about it apart from that's really funny, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking the same recently about Date Night. I was gonna swap that. That's one of my favorites.
I wouldn't mind watching that again because I like that.
Maybe
the first
I will swap
it.
I have to see if I still got the DVD. But but I thought there was gonna be a story behind Aunt May being like this sort of 40s, you know, seemingly swinging Italian lady, but they didn't sort of mention it again. But realistically, his aunt would be younger, wouldn't she?
Well, she can be old, she can be young. I mean, it's as likely to be one as the other. Like, he's only a teenager.
And there was nothing, it was weird, they didn't, like, there was no mention made of why he's living at his aunt's, or, you know, was, you think it would have come up at some point, like, in,
well, I mean, people expect Spider-Man to be living with Aunt May, like, don't they?
Oh, well, yeah, but what, why?
His parents died.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, you know that, but fucking Joe Public doesn't know that.
Oh, I think you can take a fair bit for granted with Spider-Man, can you
but,
not?
I mean, I suppose, but people are seeing these things for the first time.
That's
like
true.
Young kids, like, you know.
But how many times has Spider-Man's origin been done now? And it's just a bit, okay, we get it. Like, you know?
Yeah, maybe you're right.
If you really, really need to, you can go back to Sam Raimi's one. It's not, fuck it. It's, what is it? Oh, shit, maybe it's like 20 years old now, is it?
It, let me see.
2001.
It, yeah, so it's
nearly 17.
Yeah, it's not,
like,
you know, it's not a...
Yeah, but...
See, I've rebooted it twice since then, when you think about it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of crazy, really, isn't it? Yeah, although, really, any actor should be able to play those characters.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's their job, isn't it?
Yeah. To act.
Get, what's his
name?
The
job, if you want to call it that, yeah.
No, but you get James Gandolfini to play him. Or somebody like that. I was trying to remember Robbie Coltrane's name and it just wouldn't come.
Robbie Coltrane is Spider-Man.
Yeah. A Glaswegian Spider-Man.
So will we talk a little bit about Derry Girls?
Yes, we will.
It's, does anyone need telling what it is? It's really popular at the minute.
It really exploded.
If anything, this could
it?
Seem to be a really sort of shallow dig at getting a few downloads.
It possibly is. But,
and having Marky Smith on as well, like, you know,
yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah, this is our sellout episode.
Yeah, this is our this is the single.
It's not that that's good. That's a good point, but that isn't why I suggested it last week. I really, really like it.
Yeah,
and
it's
too
really
early
funny.
For me to like it as much as I like it. This is I'm liking it the way I like classics, like, and it's not it's too fucking early. But,
can you think of something you liked that much? That you kind of went off after having first seen it?
Oh, that's an interesting question.
Something that you thought, oh, this is going to be a classic or something I'll watch again and again, and it just kind of fell by the wayside a little bit. I can't now. Just when you said it, it struck me as a question.
I remember watching Good Big Trouble in Little China as an adult, and that was not... It was not a comfortable experience.
Wasn't that a troubled production, though? Weren't they kind of half trying to make a kid's film, but also half trying to make an action film? And
it was the
80s. Two of them really didn't work out.
Yeah, the 80s did all that. I mean, a lot of stuff in the 80s, when you talk about the premise, you know, it's like,
have you
it's
ever
like
seen
really? This was for adults?
Have you ever seen The Monster Squad?
No,
it's a film about the Universal horror. I only saw it once when I was 10 or 11, and or maybe even 12, and really into the Universal monster movies, right. And I really liked it, but I haven't seen it since. But I've seen clips of it on YouTube. That guy, is he called the Nostalgia Critic? Have you ever seen him on YouTube?
No.
He like another fucking dude with a YouTube channel who reviews old films, like, you know.
Yeah, what's with these middle aged assholes talking
about
the internet? Go on.
But he was reviewing, it was a film, it was kids who had like this monster squad gang, and all these monsters like Dracula, Frankenstein and the Wolfman and the Mummy all chase them and they come to life. But it's a kids film, but the kids like swear through the whole thing. It's like 15s, even though it's like it's not, there's probably not a kick in the arse away from something like the Goonies or something.
Yeah.
But it's 15s, even though it's got kids
the
as 80s, the main characters in it.
The 80s were a weird time. You were more into that kind of really fucking macho 80s action movie thing than I was, I think.
What examples, like?
I don't know, Red Heat or Commando.
I suppose I was pretty into Commando and Predator when I saw them.
Yeah,
when
I didn't
kid.
Mind Predator. It was not a patch. People talked about it like it was Aliens, you know, and I was like,
no,
this
it's not,
really
no.
isn't. Yeah,
it's no. not. It's not in the same fucking ballpark at all.
I don't know. I was just never into that kind of macho stuff, but I think it bled a little bit, and it, you know, that wasn't just this isolated thing in the culture of those action movies. It kind of bled in. You did have that kind of weird thing where I was talking during the week. Maybe the first person I've in years, one of the people at work, remembered The Fall guy.
Funny enough, we're going to be talking about The Fall later on, but when I came in on the day after Marky Smith died, I was going, oh, did you hear the guy from The Fall died? And someone said, what about The Fall guy? I fucking love The Fall guy.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking awesome.
Maybe it was just because a lot of people have been talking about the fall recently that it just like did a tiny little sort of jog in people's heads. And they were like, the fall guy. The fall guy.
We were talking about it, but it was one of those, it came into my mind because it's one of those 80s things that like, if you were to pitch it to a TV network today, they'd be like, who's this for?
What's the premise of the fall guy?
The simple people?
What's the premise?
He's a stuntman, a Hollywood stuntman, who solves crimes in his spare time.
So it's not unlike fucking Death Proof, except he kills people.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen Death Proof, but
maybe not. No,
no, no.
Kurt Russell, Big Trouble in Little China.
Big Trouble in Little China.
Is a stuntman who basically drives around in his car, fucking, chasing young women and killing them in his car.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it's not a good film, really.
Okay, well, I'll check it out then.
Check it out because it's Quentin Tarantino, but then you're watching it thinking this is a fucking bag of shite.
Yeah, but there was like in the 80s things got very macho
for a period
in a way that it was weird. I mean,
do you think it's because the 70s was more kind of about the anti-hero?
Yeah.
So the 80s then had to be kind of the hero.
Had a kickback, it was the reaction.
And then in the 90s we just sort of fucking took the pace out of everything.
Yeah, I don't like that. I almost think that's the least honest approach. I think at least in the 70s, however naive and silly all this fucking opt-out hippie bullshit was, and how equally silly all that fucking blue-collar, macho, muscle-bound bullshit was, at least people were, like, investing in it and believing in it.
The 90s
was a 10 years of sneering.
There's
I love the 90s. I'm not.
No, but no, you're right though. It's only kind of now that sponge has kind of been wrung out, and people are just like making things that are just things now, and not like references to other things.
Ironic commentaries on things.
Yeah, like I remember seeing.
Probably in the 90s, it needed it. You needed that. You needed to have that distance and that irony. I was like, okay, take a break. I'm sick of people who believe strongly in bullshit. So let's just take a break and take the piss of everything. But eventually.
But that got exhausting as well because after a little while it's like, am I not allowed to genuinely like anything anymore? And every other film had a big long conversation about fucking Star Wars or something in it, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember reading an interview with Ryan Adams, and he was describing whatever album he had out at the time, and he was going, oh, I like to think of it as like fucking Danzig trying to play a Tom Petty song on a Hammond organ, you know, with fucking the band or whatever, like, you know. And you're just like, I don't think any of those people you've just mentioned ever thought as deeply about consciously copying other people as you do, like, you know.
Yes,
I think that's not to say they didn't copy other people, but if they did,
Tom Petty especially,
it was, well, yeah, but it was, I think it was
like a student.
It wasn't consciously though. It wasn't like, oh, I'm gonna quote the Birds in this tune or whatever, like, yeah, I think it was just like a natural thing, whereas if things got a little bit more sort of cut and paste and Magpie, you know, maybe from the 90s on. It's still a little bit like that, but it's not as bad as it was.
I hope people will sort of come the other side of it. Although, there's still, I mean, it's still very, I mean, what are these superhero films but dragging stuff out of fucking old 60s comics? Like, I mean,
I heard someone kind of compare them to Westerns. You know, and it's just I don't mind that so much, like, you know, but when it's consciously like lifting stuff and just sort of sticking it together as your sort of almost like a reel of all the impressions you can do, like, you know, it's just there's nothing that entertaining about it, you know.
No, that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true, I think. But I can't wait for Black Panther, actually, having mentioned superhero films. I really can't wait.
If Kat wants to go and see it, I'll go and see it. I can't imagine going off my own steam to see it.
It sounds so good. And also, Black Panther is one of those, like, when I was like 16 or 17, and really I should have grown out of comics, I was getting to a place where...
16 or 17?
Well, because the stuff I was reading was like Spider-Man and the X-Men, and it kind of was getting to a point where I was like, oh, this is just going to keep on going. There's never going to be an end to these stories. It's just like, it's just Coronation Street with superpowers. Like, it's just this big soap opera. And I was kind of like, yeah, you get a wee bit bored with it. And then Morrison started on Justice League. Bendis started on Daredevil, Ennis started on The Punisher, and one of those comics that kind of made me go, fuck, I have to keep reading this, was Christopher Priest run on Black Panther, and I've had an awful soft spot for Black Panther ever since.
Oh, okay.
I cannot wait.
I can.
Oh, you're a prick.
I've been waiting my whole life. I'm not going to stop now.
Do you remember the ad for that printer?
Printer?
Yeah, that was on the radio.
No.
My name's Joe, and I love waiting.
No, I've never heard.
And he hated that his office got this amazing printer in that just shot out all the copies.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so he was angry. So that was the ad.
Do you remember what was that in The Simpsons where the guy goes, you know those annoying radio commercials where people yammer back and forth? I invented those, and this Homer reaches across the table and punches him. Happens all the time.
Oh, dear. Listen, when we talk about Derry Girls.
Yeah, so, girls in a school. Common school.
The in-betweeners, but with girls, they say.
I think that's a very reductive thing to say about it. I
agree with you.
I think it's a better show than The In-Betweeners.
I don't necessarily agree with that.
I think it's a better program.
Let's let people hear. I'll play the first one.
Play the clip there, Niall. Have you got your laptop fired up and ready to go?
Well, I have it fired up.
Just don't set it on fire. You're not meant to do that.
You're not getting anything?
Sure, aren't I doing this fast for Ethiopia?
Well, for Christ's sake, what is it with you in Africa?
Will you sponsor me?
How much?
£2.
£2? Catch yourself on.
What's happening over there is really lousy, Aaron. Father Conway showed us a video, and there's this one wee fella, Kamal. He's only 10, and every morning he walks 25 miles to the nearest well.
Does he just really enjoy whales, eh? 25 miles? How far is that?
Far?
Like, how far are we talking? From here to Bongrana?
Further. It's more like from here to Bally Buffet.
Shut up. From here to Bally Buffet. Sure you'd be knackered?
Kamal is knackered.
Are you sure Kamal isn't exaggerating?
Look, stop slagging off Kamal. Kamal doesn't have it easy. Will you sponsor me or not?
Fine.
Ah! You touch them, you buy them. That's the law.
I don't think that is the law.
If I say it's the law, smart hole!
Right, it's just I can't afford them anymore. I have to give all my money to Kamal.
Who the fuck's Kamal?
He's a wee Ethiopian fella from Bally Buffet, Dennis.
Do you want to sponsor me, Dennis?
Get out!
She is my favourite character. That there's one. Do you know the scene Orla. Where the is her name Orla?
Yeah,
she does the step up aerobics in the last episode.
Oh yeah!
It's just I love the this episode with the Chernobyl people from Chernobyl over, and Yuan starts kissing the face off your man.
Yeah,
and then she goes. Do you want a fruit pastille? And they're just standing there eating fruit pastilles, watching these two big guys. It's just really funny. I just every time she opened her mouth, she said something funny. She was like the Ralph Wiggum of this show or something.
She's
like,
not stupid. She's just really spacey.
But it's like what's his face? Michael Richards used to say about Kramer. He was saying like as it was. He said in the original scripts for Seinfeld, Kramer was written as stupid. But he was saying, I'm not playing him as stupid. In his head, he's the smartest person in the room, and that's how I'm playing him. And I kind of get that from her. Like, she's just that. Like, she has it all figured out. Like, you know.
It's a tough thing in a sitcom to write a stupid character.
Yeah, because you, what you don't want is, not like, obviously it really worked in Only Fools and Horses, but what you don't want is just like a trigger character.
I think,
like, you know,
a trigger.
When I say I mean, I don't mean a trigger character as in, like a trigger, but like trigger in Only Fools and Horses.
From Fools and Horses. Yeah. Trigger lost his shine for me in the later ones. Well, a lot of them did, but Trigger really did.
Any of those shows that went on for years, the stupid characters after a while, like Joey and Friends, by the end of that, you were like, okay, you have like a condition, lad. Yes. You need to go to the doctor. Like,
you need adult supervision. You need a responsible adult around you at all times.
Yeah.
But Trigger was like that. I don't know. He was always pretty fucking stupid, Trigger, but I think it's wrong to think of them as the stupid character. I really do. I think those characters work best when they're just kind of... I really like Orla, but she's spacey. Like, she's just... It's like she's never really paying attention and she's bopping into things.
She's like Brian in Spaced or fucking... I'm trying to think of other examples, like...
She's pretty fucking stupid now that I'm thinking, though.
I don't think it's that she's stupid. It's just that she's not... Her brain isn't running on the same tracks as the other three, like, you know.
Do you remember when they were being made clean up the fish and chip shop? And it was like, this is ridiculous. This is like slavery. And she goes, that's worse than slavery. We're not even being paid.
Is that when he's cleaning the windows with mayonnaise?
Mayonnaise! Oh, they're fucking idiots. So you prefer this to the Inbetweeners?
Yeah, I mean, I like the Inbetweeners, but I never really loved it, to be honest. Like,
I do know, I really loved it.
It's good, you know. I just thought, like, it was kind of like the English trying to do, like, almost like a Judd Apatow kind of thing with sort of gross out humor, mm-hmm. and it was just okay. I didn't like it that much, to be honest. Like,
no, I thought it was really, really good. Did you see the American one?
Why would the Americans need to make the Inbetween? They made Superbad.
Yeah. No, I thought I would prefer the Inbetweeners to Superbad now, I have to say. If I had to watch one or the other, if you were saying you can
honestly,
only have it for the rest
of your
life.
Honestly, if you were giving me the choice now to watch either of them, I might just go to bed.
I really like both, but I have a soft spot for the Inbetweeners, I have to say.
Yeah, nah, I don't think I do, to be honest.
Did you not find it very...
Funny. It could be, yeah, but I also thought it was just a bit shit as well.
Oh, really?
I don't think it had much going for it outside of dick jokes. Whereas I think that Derry Girls kind of does.
Really?
Yeah. But I mean, what did it have going for it? Like,
I thought it was really... I thought it had a really genuine perspective on teenage boyness, on adolescent boyness.
Yeah, but like, everyone has that.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
I mean, you can fucking throw a rock at the window and hit a perspective on teenage boyness.
Yeah,
it's all over the fucking place.
I thought you meant like being presented to you as a cultural artifact.
Of course, no, that's what I meant. There's fucking any amount of it out there.
Well, I would like
I would
see
argue
one.
Most of the fucking cinema of the last 15 years has pretty much
in a way. All right, that's a different thing now. That is not like an honest perspective. And I don't believe this was not
is that your brain taking
the sound of me thinking there was a cat screaming for about an hour and a half.
Oh, that's a horrifying sound.
I didn't know what it was at first, but then I thought,
yeah,
if this is still going on by the time Danny comes around, how the fuck are we going to do the podcast?
Cat wailing in the background.
Yeah, getting the fucking hole rid of her, like, or whatever the fuck she was doing.
As if you know, like the clanking of bottles and stuff isn't like bad enough. Oh, do you know what if I ever listen back to our podcasts, like I tend to listen back to them, but I like skip quite a lot of it because like, oh yeah, I remember this conversation, skips 30 seconds, you know, like,
okay.
But I'm
disappointed
kinda,
in you, but go on.
When you I like the sound of the whiskey pouring.
No,
it's like
today.
You never hear that on a podcast, someone like pouring themselves a whiskey, and it sounds like whiskey. I don't know how it does, but it does. You just, there's something about the sound of it where you're like, that's not fucking Coke, or well, Coke would fizz, but that's not water, you know.
Yeah, whiskey's nice. I do like a whiskey, but I had these, so I'm taking these. I wasn't going out and buying whiskey specifically for the podcast.
I would,
yeah, maybe I will next time. But yeah, so what is it that Derry Girls has then that the Inbetweeners doesn't?
I don't know, I think it's a little bit more you give a shit about the characters. Like if there was all of a sudden there was an episode of the Inbetweeners where Will was dead, you'd be like, alright, was it over now? Can I put it off? Like, or that's what I feel about the Inbetweeners.
Fucking robot. Unbelievable.
If that happened on the Derry Girls, you'd be like, oh fuck, what happened to her? Like, you know,
the one episode does open with her cradling in tears over the grandfather's photograph. Saying about how tragic it was that he was taken so soon.
Turns out to be the dog.
The dog he was holding.
Yes. Yeah. They go to fucking... okay, like, spoilers, Frank, for anyone who hasn't seen it yet.
Sorry, Frank.
But doesn't the... They follow the dog. She thinks she sees the dog then, mm-hmm. And they follow it into a church and it goes upstairs in the church and it pisses through a wee hole and it drips down on the, which is actually a lot like an episode of Only Fools
and
Horses.
One of the best episodes of Fools and Horses.
Yeah, it's really good. But literally, like, the Virgin Mary is crying tears of piss.
Yeah, it's funny.
You wouldn't have got away with that like 20 years ago.
Possibly not. Fools and Horses did, kind of.
It wasn't piss though, it was rain.
No. But my favourite bit of that whole episode was Claire who initially saw her move, or Claire who's hopped up on energy drinks who initially saw her move, which I think is a bit of an anachronism. Could you get energy drinks that far back?
That's what I was thinking. I don't remember there being like Red Bull. Well, there was Lucozade, I suppose, but
yeah.
I don't think there was energy drinks per se.
No, there wasn't.
It might have been
set in the early 90s.
Was it maybe around the time where you saw the first advertisements for Lucozade Sport? Isotonic, Lucozade Sport.
Maybe,
and
yeah.
I think that's the first drink I can remember being marketed as like fuel.
Yeah, okay, that's probably true. Because I know that Red Bull came out around the time of my debs, because that was the first time I ever drank it, and I just drank buckets of it that night.
Yeah, vodka and Red Bull was everybody's drink for a while.
I didn't know what to fucking do with myself. I was hopping off the fucking walls.
Well, because of course you didn't drink back then, so you were just drinking Red Bull.
Drinking raw Red Bull.
Because the...
I don't know how many of them
vodka
I had.
And Red Bull, like, the vodka kind of tempered the caffeine a little bit.
Well, you see, it's they're firing in different directions. So
yeah, like the bread. It's a very odd sensation. Like,
I've never had a vodka and Red Bull.
Well, I mean, if you had one, you'd probably enjoy it. But if you had 10 of them, you'd be like, you just feel like you're being pulled in all sorts of directions. Like, you know,
you're not like being nice clean drunk.
Yeah, if you're just drinking beer, you're just gradually sloping down. Like, you know,
I went out with a couple of people, with Kamel and a couple of people from work, Claire and Mark, on Friday. And
because you said if you wanted to have a beer while we did the podcast, take one with you, because I was entertaining. I thought that was like a quite a grand way of putting it.
Well, that was fine. How would you say?
I don't know. Did people around?
Yeah, but I was typing this.
It was entertaining.
Economy of expression.
You've never been entertaining.
Ask the swap meters.
Yeah. Joke.
But thanks. But it's weird how your head works when you're drunk, because we came back and Mark kind of fell asleep on the couch. So me and Claire were just kind of chatting, and then at one stage Mark sort of sat up and sort of went staggering, didn't say a word to anybody, went staggering out the door, and he was kind of going out the front door, and I was like, Mark, what are you doing? What's happening? He's like, toilet. And I was like, right up the top of the stairs, you're up at it already. And he was going up the stairs, and I was standing at the bottom of the stairs, and he was wavering, like.
Did he need to puke, like?
No, I don't think so, but he was just sort of, he was clearly very drunk.
Just the way he said, you know the way sometimes if someone's asking you something when you're about to vomit, you're trying to imagine, you're trying to work out the least amount of syllables you have to use to get your point across when you had toilet.
No, I don't think he had a puke. I don't know, to be honest, but I was standing at the bottom of the stairs, sort of watching him go up unsteadily, and I went, Mark, don't fall down the stairs now. And I kind of turned around to walk in the door. And Claire was looking at me, she's lying on that couch right at the door going, I think you're half-assing that a bit.
Don't fall down the stairs now.
Yeah.
That's like, it is literally like saying, don't have an accident none of us could reasonably predict now, Mark.
Yeah, but the very fact that I said it meant you did predict it and you took no steps now.
Yeah.
It was like, I would have had to, when the ambulance came, I would have had to be standing there going, none of us saw it coming. But at the time, I was thinking, problem sorted. Until Claire was like, what? But anyway.
That's pretty funny.
Such is life.
So you are entertaining. It was only a joke.
That's about as entertaining as I get, though. And we have another fucking hour and a half to go down. So Derry Girls.
Are they all older? Like, are they all, like, in their sort of late 20s, early 30s?
I was checking it out. They have credits to their name, so I would imagine that they're in their 20s anyway.
Okay. Because I know the girl who plays the nervous kind of girl, girl who was just there, and the one who, like, grasses them up any chance she gets. It was her. I had nothing to do with this. It was her.
I have that. Will I play it?
Oh, yeah, do. Yeah, play it. That's a really funny clip.
But really, I played that clip because I wanted the nun. Sister Michael.
She's brilliant, isn't she?
She's pretty fucking funny, and I'm opening Notepad++ like a wee fucking...
No, what's Notepad++?
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful little application. It's
really?
Just.
Do I need to know about this Notepad++?
No. If you write code, it's a beautiful, beautiful wee
application. Oh, right. But Open Sesame. It's as far as I ever got.
All right. Here we go. Watch out for Sister Michael. That's why I got this. That's why I picked this clip.
It wasn't bullying. It was attempted bullying.
What if we get expelled?
Nobody ever actually gets expelled. Rhonda Gallagher hasn't even been expelled, and she's in ARA.
I'd say that's probably why.
Can't find the boys' toilets anywhere.
It's an all-girls school, duckface. There are no boys' toilets.
So should I just use the girls' toilets?
No, you should not, you fucking pervert.
Yes, I really don't feel great. I feel sort of shaky. I think my blood sugar's dangerously low.
Seriously, will you just have a Mars bar?
What about Kamel?
Fuck Kamel.
Look. Whatever happened in there, we have to stick together, okay? We have to back each other up.
Ladies.
So it had nothing
Michelle, I'm not going down for something I didn't do. If anyone deserves to get punished, it should be Michelle.
Well, I think it's safe to say we all just lost a bit of respect for you there, Claire. This is just so disappointing, girls. I mean, threatening a first year.
We didn't threaten her. We're not stupid. Meg Mandy's her sister and she's half fucking gorilla.
That's quite enough, Miss Mallon.
Hey, shouldn't swear, Michelle, because when you swear, Our Lady in Heaven, she cries her tears, then make rain. Isn't that right, Sister Michael?
What age are you now, Orla?
15.
Yeah, you might want to think about wising up.
Oh, the nun is funny. I like
yeah,
her.
She is. What? Like, she must be in other stuff, but I just couldn't place her.
A lot of them are in other stuff. Yeah, yeah. The mother's been. The mother was in The Fall, actually. Funny enough,
she was in The Fall.
Yeah, she was.
Was she the bassist?
She was in the TV show The Fall. But yeah, there's been. He is. He's absolutely not playing Tommy Tiernan.
Yeah, but that's why he's good. Tommy Tiernan has gotten very annoying.
He has.
And as this, he's actually not a bad actor. Like, he's a good actor, you know?
He's very good in this. Do you remember when he gets goaded into attacking the waitress?
Oh.
By the father-in-law.
She starts crying. I just got a bit of bad news. I'm sorry.
There was no need for that. Have you nothing to say about this, you slack southern shite? His father-in-law is such a prick.
Yeah, he really is.
Yeah.
But I just, and then obviously the episode with Kevin McAleer in it, I thought was like, and the two men came in, and the taller one, now though, to be honest, there was only about an inch in it, if it was that, and you know, just prattling on and on.
Not a man playing against type.
No, he can't do anything else.
And one of them asked him a question, and Tommy's like, for God's sake, don't get him off. Don't get him off course.
Two stand-ups in that. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I thought Tommy Tiernan. I would love to see Tommy Tiernan in a like a fucking falling down kind of film or something. Like, you know, I think he's like a really good actor, and he's good in his stand-up. Like when he has to act in his stand-up, he's really good. Like, you know,
I haven't seen Falling Down in years.
Me neither. I don't think I've ever seen it all the way through.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I have awful fond memories of it now.
Yeah, so do I, but that probably means it's shit.
Maybe. Although in my head, I think that would have been 91, would it?
And in early head, 90s anyway, yeah.
Yeah, that was more of a 90s film than an 80s film.
Well, yeah, he was, wasn't he just like a sort of an office bod that kind of loses it one morning in traffic?
Just a schlub like who's mad as hell and not going to take it anymore.
Doesn't it turn out that he works for the government or something? Defense. Because isn't his name Defense in it?
Oh yeah, but he's not a soldier or anything.
No, I know, but doesn't he work? He works for some arm of the government.
Well, possibly. I can't remember where he works. Was that important to the plot?
I think it might have been, because that's what, like, he lost it, like, and I think he was able to. I can't remember.
I don't think it was.
I mean, we could look it up, but I think it's more crack to speculate.
Yeah, I like the bit where he took out the fiery sword. Since we're going to speculate.
And yeah, like, there is funny moments in it where he has that wee flat burger in McDonald's or whatever, and he's like, this looks nothing like that picture up there.
Did you ever hear Bill Burr talking about McDonald's?
It's for kids and when you're hammered.
No, I was thinking about when they gave in and started doing salads. That's like, it's like admitting your wrongdoing. You should never have done it.
You do an awesome Bill Burr impression.
I like Bill Burr.
And you know what I actually specifically like about Bill Burr is when he's on Conan's show, Conan O'Brien.
Conan's
something
good
about
with
those two that's really funny. Like,
Conan is very funny.
Yeah, but they're both from the same area, I think. And there's something about the fact that Conan's like...
Really?
Yeah, they're both from Boston.
I don't think Conan's from Boston.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Are you sure?
Absolutely. I would put money on it.
I would put money on him not being from Boston.
Then I would win and you would lose.
Story of my life. Come on, go on.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, I like the fact that, they're both fucking Irish redheads, like, you know. And
yeah.
They're just like, I like the fact that Conan is almost in every way the complete opposite kind of comedian of Bill Burr.
Yeah.
But like, you can tell Conan just really appreciates having him on the show, and he loves the kind of banter between the two of them. Like, you know, I think that's my favorite Bill Burr stuff to watch. Like, is
why
the two of them.
Why do people write into Bill Burr for like relationship advice and stuff?
Because they know it's going to be a funny answer, I'm sure. Like, you know,
I'd be uncomfortable.
I have to. That's
There's
my
a bit of me that would love to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would be uncomfortable if people started asking us relationship advice.
Oh, asking us relationship advice. Oh, no, they should.
Really?
But I mean, like, all we can give is our answer from our experience. I'm not saying it's going to be fucking the right solution or anything.
We would have to agree that whatever advice you give, I would have to give the absolute opposite advice just to cover our asses. Cover the swap meet ass.
So in other words, it's not worth their while because they'd be getting two opposing viewpoints just to make sure everything's grand.
Sign of a first-class mind. The ability to hold two opposing viewpoints simultaneously and believe in them both with utter conviction. Who said that?
Well, you just said it, but I'm not sure who said it first.
I don't think I can take credit. Yeah, I wasn't the first. Anyway, never mind.
But I like the Bill Burr, like when there's a clip of him talking to Conan about is it Apple or who's the Apple guy?
Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs. Just
that is
like,
a funny bit.
He's like Gandhi, Tesla, me,
walking out on stage like he's Tesla.
He's Tesla.
He's master of the lightning.
I want my whole music collection on that phone. Get on it.
Steve Jobs is an interesting one. I don't know how I feel about him, really. A lot of people who seem to have known him found him an uncomfortable sort of a presence.
iTunes are going to do away with MP3 sales, apparently, within the next 2 years.
And what do you mean?
Like, they're going to just... You can't buy MP3s anymore.
What can you buy?
It'll just be Apple Music. It'll just be like it's their Spotify... Spotify's eventually going to fizzle out, and Apple Music will take over.
And what about a podcast?
Well, no, iTunes.
Have you thought about us at all?
iTunes will still exist; they'll rent films and stuff. But buying music on iTunes is going to be a thing of the past. So, no one's going to be able to afford to make any music. So, you know, soak it up while you can.
Yeah. Well, you see, they took the wrong fucking tack from the start. The more I think about it, the more I believe that the big. You know, music and film companies try to stamp it out, and they shouldn't have.
The film companies handled it better. Like, Netflix was a thing pretty quickly, like, you know, and...
Yeah, but Netflix has stolen a lot of the thunder. That could be fucking 20th Century Fox flicks or something.
Yeah.
And just like Spotify stole, you know, gave this model that you can make music, you know... People are happy to pay for that stuff if it's easy and it's fast and it's cheap. Like, yeah. You know?
It was I think what might have happened was it was that sort of time when there was like still the CDs, but also there was the MP3s and people were just like, am I really going to fucking buy all these CDs that are just going to take up space in my house and I might have nothing to play them on in 5 years? Am I going to fucking... But I also fucking don't know how to use a computer, really. Like, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, no. So there was a fucking... period where they could have got away with that. It was like, I have no idea how to torrent something. I'm just gonna, you know, if there's a way for me.
I don't know how to torrent something now.
I go fucking months, like 8-9 months between torrenting something. Every time I sit down to torrent something, it's like relearning it again all from the start.
You think going to get new software, like,
you know. It's just such a pain in the fucking hole, like, you know. There were plenty of people who would have happily gone on to some kind of Sony Music thing.
Yeah,
if they made it easy and simple for non-technically minded people to use.
Which is most people.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why most people don't listen to music anymore. Because it used to be a thing, I put the CD in the tray, I press play, it's on. Like, I put on the radio, it's on. Now it's like you have to figure out how to use the TuneIn app. You have to get Spotify. People just aren't arsed. And, you know...
Yeah, but they could have. But the music companies have nobody to blame but themselves.
Yeah.
In fairness,
totally agree.
But they should have gone in. They should have gone in immediately upon Napster becoming a household word. Before it became a household word, when it was a household word among teenagers, they should have gone in, paid what's his name, Justin Timberlake, whatever money, whatever the guy Justin Timberlake was playing.
Yeah, yeah.
Paid Justin Timberlake $1 million. He would have taken it. He was a bum. And it'd have been cheap at twice the price for them. And they could have then started some kind of charging system. But they didn't do that. And they didn't. It bugs me. They went in with the fucking lawyers and the fucking big heavy fucking boots and tried to stamp it out. And there's no stamping it out.
You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube.
Exactly. Exactly. And it just annoys me that they still try and cling to these. This is mostly in the back of my head. I'm thinking, this is why I can't watch 30 Rock. I'm still so angry about
that. I can see the DVD
that.
From here.
Yeah, but I had to go out and get the DVD. I didn't. Paddy left that. They're Paddy's. I shouldn't have to fucking get let the fucking get up and put a DVD in a tray. I should be on my laptop. And they won't let me.
I had them on the wrong fucking country. Like, files. I could have given them to you.
I don't really care that much. But it's just, I just find them absolutely refusing to engage with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then whinging that they're losing money at the same time. It's like, yeah, no shit. You're refusing to sell your stuff. Like, if you refuse to sell it, you won't make money. And this guy, whatever his name was, Timberlake, fucking had this amazing new way of getting music to people, and you were like, no, no, no. Well, you made your bed.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly.
You made your bed.
And it's like, you see, it's kind of, at the minute, this vinyl thing, people are kind of buying vinyl again, but it's like people who buy hardback books. It's not most people. It's only a few people, you know.
Yeah, it's a strange one. I'd get the odd hardback book at Christmas, like.
Yeah, that's the only hardback books I have, like, are ones that someone bought for me. Yeah. Because they look better as presents when they're hardback.
Exactly. And then, you know, Stephen King, every Christmas will have one out.
I prefer paperbacks.
Yeah, they're easier, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, I don't like a big hardback book.
I like the Kindles now.
I can't, yeah, I do and I don't. I don't know, like, I was reading 2000 AD on my phone for a while and I started buying the actual comic again because it was just sitting on my phone and I was never looking at it, like, you know, it was just like, when I'm, like, in the canteen at work, eating my fucking poached eggs or whatever, like, it just to scroll through it and eat at the same time is just, like, you know.
I've never poached an egg.
I actually perfected it recently.
How?
When the water is just starting to boil, take it off the heat for a minute. No bubbles. Can't have bubbles when you're poaching an egg.
Okay.
So you take it off the heat, you turn the heat, your ring down as low as it'll go.
Yeah.
Or, you know, pretty low, maybe not quite as low as it'll go, and that's the heat the water should be at when you poach an egg. And don't crack it directly into the water, put it in a bowl and kind of slide it in.
Oh.
I don't know why that makes a difference, but it does. I poached eggs this morning and they were awesome.
Somebody told me what you do is you spin the water and get a sort of a circle.
Some people do that,
water,
yeah.
And then the egg and that.
But I feel like it gets really scraggly, like, and
I don't know, I've never
avoid that anyway.
Never poached an egg. Why poach when you can boil? My philosophy.
Because you might want just to put it on the toast without having to peel it out of the shell.
Is peeling it out of the shell such a big thing?
Well, it's not that it's a big thing, but if you can avoid it. Also, you can see how a poached egg is doing, which is a boiled egg is a complete mystery each time out.
No, it's not.
It is. Well, I
like hard boiled eggs, so it's probably not for me.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Are you a soft boiler?
I like to dip.
Fair play, that's allowed. I went yesterday because I was here all fucking night on Friday. I went yesterday to Ma Brady's and got a fry.
Oh, was it good?
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah.
I love smearing the Brady bread through the fried egg.
Oh, man.
Runnings.
I haven't had a fry up in ages. I haven't eaten meat. I ate meat once since Christmas.
Really?
Yeah.
What meat was it?
I was in Eskays and I had a lamb something or other.
One of those North African ones.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah.
A tagine or something.
Something along those lines. And I can't even remember why I ordered it because I decided I was going to go vegetarian. And then first time I was in a restaurant, all of the lamb, you know, not even like a beef burger, but like a wee lamb.
But lamb is lovely.
Yeah, of course it is. No, you'll find no argument here about that.
I remember talking to a fellow one time who rolled his eyes at me. Because we were talking about food, and I said, you don't get much mutton anymore. I remember having mutton when I was a kid. And he was like, you don't get much mutton. And I was like, no, you know, if you go, when did you last see mutton? And he's like, half the lamb you're eating is mutton. I was like, oh, all right, okay.
I love this, the mutton conspiracist.
apparently, this is the thing. Although I don't know whether I believe him or not, but he told me
the lamb you're eating. He told you like you're the dumbest person on the planet to be brought in by this whole no more mutton hoax.
That's exactly what it was. It was like, what? You idiot. You don't believe the sheep farmers, do you? You're a tool of the fucking mutton.
Do you believe everything the sheep farmers tell you, huh?
So anyway, yeah, that's what happened to all the mutton. They relabeled it lamb and sold it for twice the price.
That's brilliant.
Anyway, so I don't know. Although I don't know whether I believe him. Why keep it alive? Like, if you can charge twice as much for it when it's young, why keep it alive?
Yeah, I suppose you're right, yeah, but maybe...
But that would also explain why there's no mutton.
Maybe there's stricter laws about lamb.
There could well be, I don't know.
So, no one gives a fuck about elf sheep.
Yeah.
It's fucking dead in their feet, most of them. Mutton! Every last one of them.
Straggly old fucking fleece. Coated with shite all down the back. Now we're getting that clean.
Oh, man.
Oh, anyway, that's yeah. Funny. So, that might be quite an Irish conversation. But you know where else you get very Irish conversations?
Dairy Girls!
Dairy Girls!
Bringing it back after the mutton diversion.
It is very Irish. It screams... It is instantly recognisable to me as my school is.
And finally, I don't think it... The nostalgia, like, I know people are talking about it as this big 90s nostalgia trip, but I think you can make it today and it'll be pretty much the same show. It's not a prisoner of all that.
No,
I
it
do
isn't.
Like the fact that someone else has... The Northern accent is very funny, depending on how it's used.
A lot of annoying things are when you use them certain ways.
Yeah. When I was younger, I used to think the Northern accent in some ways was kind of sexy, depending on who had it.
Really?
Yeah, I used to think that.
Well, it is unbelievable how you cross that border, and I don't know what it is. They dress different.
What do you mean?
They just dress...
Was there something...
Probably 20-year-olds down here dress a certain way that 35-year-olds are still dressing up there.
Okay. No, okay.
I have noticed that on a couple of occasions.
Okay. Was there something on it? When I left the pub last night, it was after 2 sometime.
Mm.
Well, obviously the bar had been closed for quite some time by that stage.
But you were helping them clear the shelves.
Yeah, I was wiping
tables.
Things down
You're not a gentleman. You're a gentleman to a fault, actually.
Do you know what, as well? They were still using... I noticed in the bathroom there, still using the long towel as the means of drying your hands. You know the towel that
the roller.
You kind of tug on it and a little bit. And I went in... The first time I went in to use the bathroom and the whole thing is just rolled out on the floor. And you're just like, for fuck's sake, get a hand dryer.
Hand dryers are useless for drying
your
hands.
Yeah, but they're not as fucking useless
except
as...
Except those... Dyson Air Blades. Yeah.
They're amazing. But
he's an odd one, isn't he?
But he, what?
Dyson, he's an odd one.
Is it a he? Is there a man, Dyson?
Oh, yeah, Michael Dyson. Isn't it Michael Dyson? Yeah, Michael Dyson.
Mickey D.
And
is he, did he design the vacuum cleaner?
He's just like an inventor. That's his job.
Is it all air?
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
That's obsessed with air.
It's like... What other household appliance requires...
He's got one that sucks air in and one that blows it out. Is there anything else? Like, it's like, well, I've got one that sucks air in and then blows it out.
Mm. He has a couple of other things. He has this pretty cool air purifier. He's got like a clockwork radio that's supposed to be used like a way out, in the jungle or wherever. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
It'll always work because you charge it by it's not clockwork, wind up, die. I'm an idiot. You charge it by winding it up and that powers a battery, and so you're never without it. Like, and he had a wheelbarrow that didn't sink in the muck, which was kind of
until you put something into it.
No, because whatever way it distributed the weight that was on it, it didn't have a wheel, it had like a ball.
Oh, right.
And that one I haven't seen much, because I remember even at the time him showing that on like the Late Late Show or something and going, surely that will get clogged. Even if it doesn't sink, that ball is going to get clogged. But anyway.
You just have a useless above ground wheelbarrow at that point.
Yeah, an immovable wheelbarrow. Not so much a wheelbarrow as just a wheel dish.
But I walked out of the pub last night and...
Oh, yes.
Every accent I heard was Northern. Was there something on that everybody was down for?
I don't know. The 12th? No, it's not.
Maybe
the
it was the rugby, was
it's
it?
Not the 12th. Was there rugby on yesterday?
I think there was
rugby, yeah.
The nations. How many nations? 7?
6 nations.
6.
Is it?
Fucking...
I don't know.
Fucking what? Who invented the rugby ball?
Webb.
Is that just a word you like saying, or is that a fact?
No, Webb Ellis. William Webb Ellis.
Why? But was he just like, you know what? Fucking not having it with these perfectly round footballs.
There is a bit. There is a myth that they were playing football and he picked up the ball and ran with it and thus invented rugby.
So that made him an inventor.
I didn't say he
picked
he was
up
inventor.
A ball and ran away with it. All of a sudden, he's an inventor.
I think William Webb Ellis is the name. You know what? You're not. I'm not on fucking comfortable ground here. I'm not a rugby expert.
I don't
even
know the fucking rules of rugby.
Yeah, I can't really. I could watch it. I'd watch it quicker than I'd watch soccer. Like,
I mean, I'd also watch nothing as quick as I'd watch either. Like, you know.
Yeah, I've gone out like and you know have a crack.
Yeah, I suppose soccer is good for that. You can kind of go out. Fucking, I'm saying that like I ever would. But how do we get onto all of this? Yeah, the comedic possibilities of the Northern accent, as essayed by the likes of Frank Carson.
So where you tell him? Were you waiting for me to say that?
No.
Okay.
But I'm glad you did. Kevin McAleer, obviously.
Yes.
I feel like there's more. Can you think of any?
Northern comedians.
Fucking the whole... What's the hole in the wall gang? What are they called?
Who?
No, not the hole in the wall. What are they called? The skid. They give my head
the
piece.
The IRA?
No, they give my head piece.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I never really got into that.
Neither did I.
Yeah.
Feels like if they were that good, they'd have been on proper BBC and not... BBC Northern Ireland, doesn't it?
Yeah, or like
they're not good.
Made shows about something else.
Yeah, it's so weird up there. I remember around the presidential election when Martin McGuinness was running, the late now Martin McGuinness. Somebody would he still have been president? Yeah, he would have still been president. Isn't that mental? We'd have had to pay for a fucking presidential funeral if he had won that.
Oh, really?
Martin McGuinness.
Yeah. I suppose I hadn't really thought about it.
Well, neither had I until just now, like. But we dodged a bullet, didn't we? Unfortunate choice of words.
I was just going to say.
Oh, I'm in such trouble. But there was a girl, like, in the audience on Pat Kenny's thing, and he said
something.
When you
say a girl, do you mean an old woman?
No, I mean a young and fervently believing person.
Okay.
Sigh. Believers. But anyway, she was he said something about, look, I can only tell you that a person, because he was from the north, obviously, a person from Derry is every bit as much an Irishman as a person from Donegal, as a person from Cork. And she was saying, no, it's not. It's a different thing. And he was like, it absolutely isn't. And at the time, I remember thinking, okay, you're being a bitch. You know, this is total lack of historical context. But the more I think about it, then, it is, they're clearly Irish, right? Because Derry Girls doesn't seem English. It's Irish. It seems deeply, authentically Irish.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing in there I didn't recognise.
True.
And yet they have had basically 100 years of this quite different context, completely different context to the rest of the island. So that would have to leave a mark somehow, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry.
Just stop me if I'm boring you. Like.
No, sorry. No, that wasn't because of you.
It was because you were helping them clear up the wee house last
night.
Yeah,
yeah.
Until
mean,
all
I
hours.
I have to do my bit, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But, no, yeah, I know what you're saying. But the show is, like, it's Irish with a capital. Well, you can't have Irish with a small I, but it is, like, it is, like, Irish with all capital letters and 9 H's and
I think what
I's.
You're saying is it's Irish! Yeah, it is. Even down to...
Kind of a nice wee tribute to Dolores O'Riordan as well. I know it wasn't meant like that because it was made before she passed away, but she literally, like, the first song is Zombie and the last song is Dreams.
Is the first song Zombie?
Yeah, Zombie is the first tune.
Oh, I thought it was Dreams. No, I think
is
it's
not, no,
opens
I think,
and
yeah,
closes
I
with both of them.
Zombie.
It doesn't really matter. Like, it doesn't matter.
But she has a poster of Dolores up in the room as well.
She does, yeah. But it is a kind of nice retribute. It is very Irish. Even down, you know, Michelle's
even
hair.
Even the fact that it's Dolores O'Riordan, it's like, Dolores O'Riordan's from Limerick.
Yeah.
It's not like it was, it's not like it's a specific Belfast singer mm-hmm. that she's into fucking the Cranberries, because everybody was, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think, you know Michelle, the mouthy one's hair?
Yeah.
I feel like there were girls at school I fancied who had hair just like that.
Absolutely, yeah.
That seems like a very... Like
it's a really good detail.
Yes.
Yeah, and then there's one episode where...
I don't see... Maybe I'm... Obviously, I'm not hanging around with fucking 15-year-old girls, but...
No, I know what you mean.
I think it's a hairstyle that's disappeared.
Oh, yeah. No one has it now. Like, no. You know, I'm sure even the girl playing the character was like, oh my God, am I really going to have to get that hairstyle, you know?
Fucking looks good, I know.
But the, what was I going to say?
But again,
and then
I
there
think
was
that
the,
might be because
when I was that age, there were girls with that hairstyle who wouldn't have looked twice at me. Like,
yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And then, I love the episode where Ewan puts on the Jerry Spice, the Union Jack dress. Oh, like, Jesus, that's also, like, that's very indicative of the times as well. It's one of those great wee details. Like, it's great to see a fucking show where no one has a mobile phone either. Like, you know.
Yeah. I bought a jacket in Amsterdam that turned out to have a Union Jack on the back of it.
Oh, you told me that before, yeah.
Never got wearing it.
It wouldn't have been advised.
No, not walking around Dundalk and fucking...
No, you can't.
Turn of the millennium, no.
For whatever reason, you can walk around in one of those denim jackets with the stars and stripes in the back of it. Same fucking colours and everything, like, you know, but...
Yeah, but America never invaded.
I suppose not.
Us.
Invaded our popular culture, though. Big style.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. Cultural appropriation!
No time for that bullshit.
But I just thought, the acting in it is really good. The parents are great. Like, the mother's very funny. The episode I just watched was she was, like, looking for shirts to fill up a dark load.
Yeah.
And she was like, just put on a half load. And she says, that goes against everything I stand for.
Well, the one where they were getting out of Derry for the 12th.
Oh, that's,
and she was
in
the car praying to St. Anthony because she lost her punt purse.
That's right.
That's very Irish.
And what's the it's not Irish, but it was very indicative of the times where, you know, they're having an argument or a conversation about something and they have to stop in the middle of it because Saturday night comes on. They're at like a house party or whatever.
Yeah, and they have to dance.
Do the dance. And they're still talking, but it's like they all have to stop and go and do the dance. Like, it's the law.
Yeah. Good old Saturday night. It was, look, I really like it. I think it's a little early to be declaring, to be bestowing classic status on it.
But you don't know if something is a classic until a few years down the line, and then you go and watch it again, you know. That's why The Inbetweeners isn't a classic. You watch that again.
I've watched that.
No good.
A pathetic amount of times.
Oh, really? Yeah, you're really into it.
Yeah, I really love The Inbetweeners.
Yeah.
I hated that film so much so I never watched the second film, which people tell me is actually pretty good.
I didn't see the film, either of them.
The film was awful.
Fucking no interest.
It was just bad.
It's just like, they don't make good films out of sitcoms. I can't think of one.
Alan Partridge.
I stand corrected, sir. That was brilliant.
There must be another one.
All of them, there was a spate of those sitcom movies in the 70s where they were all going on holiday somewhere.
Yeah.
There was a lot of those.
Are you being served or whatever?
Yeah, yeah. I think there was even a fucking, there was an Only Fools and Horses one where they went to Miami.
Miami twice.
Shite. Yeah. Shockingly bad.
It wasn't great. My father loves it.
Oh, it's awful. But there is like, sorry, Niall's dad, I didn't mean to, you know, slag off your son's taste, but not yours.
He's not listening.
But what was I going to say? There were really good long episodes of Only Fools and Horses that were movie length. Like, you know, like the ones with the diamonds. That was good. Like,
that was brilliant. Yeah, that was
there's a few. I can't think of the rest of them, but there were a few of them.
That was Hollenbach, wasn't it? Yeah, there were other ones. Was the... Blow Up Dolls a long one?
I think that was like 45. It was one of the 45 minute episodes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think Only Fools and Horses survived those longer episodes.
No, they didn't. They weren't as good.
Yeah.
Blow Up Dolls was pretty funny, though.
Yeah, it was hurt.
Look, they got a couple of good episodes out of it. Del Boy Falling Through the Bar, that was one of the 45 minute ones.
Yeah.
There was some good ones, but at that stage you were kind of in the back of your head thinking, yeah, this is pretty good, but it's not... as good.
Yeah, it was a lot of that.
It wasn't actively bad, but it wasn't... Like, the Blow Up Dolls, pretty funny, but as a half-hour one, that would have been fucking ripping.
Yeah,
like,
it would have been really good, yeah.
Yeah.
But, anyway, sorry, I'm totally lost in my train of thought there. I had something else to say and it's gone.
What were we saying?
We're talking about sitcom movies. There's no, yeah, apart from Alpha Papa, there's no good ones.
The Brady Bunch.
But that's not really the same thing.
No, it isn't.
It's more of a...
You're quite right.
...spoof, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I've never actually seen it. Is it good?
Yes, it is. Well, years since I saw it now.
That might be... That'd be an interesting one to swap, maybe. You know, don't have to. Don't have to do it today. Oh. Sit on it. Think about it for a while. See if it's a classic.
See if it hatches.
Yeah.
Let's see. I might have a watch of it again and see how it goes.
So... With there's going to be a second series of Derry Girls. I think everybody, there's no way there wasn't.
Yeah, no, it really has.
But it'll
taken
be
off.
At least next year by the time it's made.
Yeah, and I wonder if it's wise. Like, I don't know.
Is it like? Is there anything wrong with letting something just be this like golden fucking one season fucking home run. Like, is there anything... Would, no. If you were, like, a sitcom writer, would you consider that, like, a failure?
No. But then maybe she does. She's a professional writer. She's written in a lot of stuff. Like, she did Raw for RTE.
Was that her?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
I didn't see it, but I remember it being on.
I watched the first episode, and it was...
Shite.
Yeah, I didn't like it. Put it that way. I can't. After I'm all paranoid after last week. I really ripped into Laurie Kilmartin in a way I wasn't comfortable with listening back. But
you just didn't like it. You're not like
yeah,
it.
I know, but at the same time. Yeah, Raw was not good.
That's one thing I'm trying to do in this iteration of the podcast is not just be like, well, I didn't like it, right? You know, like, yeah. I want to, like, if you'd have given me the Jordan Peterson lecture 3 years ago, I would have been, fuck this guy.
Listen. When I say I was a hard, I stand over everything I say.
Of course, yeah. You're allowed not like something.
You wrap that up. Will I get you a bottle?
Yeah, please, yeah. Good. So, yeah, I just, like, what was I going to say? I just like her. I think she's a great writer. I love her podcast that she does with Jackie Cation. You know, I'm generally speaking kind of a fan of just, like, what she does. And
that's allowed.
Yeah.
Would you consider yourself a fan of Lisa McGee now?
Kind of, yeah. Well, I mean, I've seen two and a half hours of her work there or thereabouts at this point, and I'm like, yeah. Well, there was very little of that I didn't like. We were talking, everyone is banging on about the finale with the Oma thing at the end of it, and are we the dissenting voices in this where we were both a bit like, I thought it was great that, spoilers again, but I thought it was, what was I going to say? I thought it was... It's interesting now in the second series that one of them is a lesbian.
Yeah.
That was a nice touch. I thought that and was kind of realistic.
It was nicely done because Erin had to put her money where her fucking socially aware mouth was.
Yeah,
It was grand to be all sort of interesting politically until her friend comes out. And
yeah.
You're like, how does this affect...
I have to say, friendship? As soon as it happened and I saw you on get all nervous about it, I was like, oh, it's her.
Yeah,
it's just there was no like you'd want to like if I saw it then everyone must have saw it like you know.
No, I think you're right. It's it was interesting. It was interesting. It was good, but yeah, I thought there was I thought the ending just kind of came out of nowhere. I suppose Oma did come out of nowhere, but I was just like, eh.
Yeah,
it's not as if like it wasn't touching on the troubles. The troubles were constantly there in it, like.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sure. The series opens with a bomb scare, and it's just like annoying everybody because they have to go the long way around to wherever they're going. You know?
Yeah, and there's
to like hair appointments and stuff. Like, you know.
Yeah, and there's the episode set on the 12th where they find a like an escaping IRA man in the boot. It's so funny. It's ridiculous, but it's funny.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't think it necessarily. I thought the Oma thing was a bit. I don't know. That was a bit. Wee bit clunky.
Yeah, yeah.
But look, that's the worst thing I can say about that series.
Listen, didn't that happen on a Saturday?
I think you're right about
that. Yeah, I think it was a Saturday afternoon.
I remember...
Town was bustling, like, you know...
Yeah, yeah. That, I think you're right, because I remember talking... It was like a... Oh, we were talking about something else. But I remember talking to Damian Rannick about it. Yeah, it was a Saturday.
Yeah. Someone said to me last night... Actually, my mate Paul, who was over from, he lives in Glasgow now, but he was over for a few nights, and he has this. He has a really clear memory of being with me and John Adams playing pool on September the 11th that I don't have.
Why? Where did you hear about it?
I in my memory, I was at home. I was should have been at college, and I wasn't. And I was at home.
No,
and
that's not. That can't be.
Well, it was 2001.
Yeah, but it was. College wasn't back. I was still working because I remember
I have this really clear memory of not being at college and lying up on my bed at like lunchtime, not asleep, but I was just like lying in my bed listening to music or whatever. And my dad coming up and going, crazy shit going on in America. You should come down and have a look at the telly, like you know.
And you were like, oh, yeah, right.
But according to Paul,
yeah, right, granddad. You can't shock my generation,
granddad. I'm your father. What are you talking? But. What was I going to say? Yeah, I have a... That's my really clear memory of September 11th, but Paul insists we were in Corbett's playing pool.
Okay.
So weird. I don't know what the fuck happened. I don't... Maybe neither of those things happened.
I'm almost 100% certain I got into the car to go home from work and...
It was September.
Turned on the radio. Yeah, it's September the 11th.
Yeah, so we would have been back at college.
No way we'd be back in college.
September the 11th. September. Of course we would.
No, we would be back in college.
We were back at the end of August a couple of years.
That's simply not true.
It fucking is true.
I pile out of the van, we turn on the radio, and Gareth O'Callaghan, fucking incisive fucking master, was giving us his take. Like, and we're like, really? Is that true?
It must have been really difficult for those guys on the radio who are just like fucking limp middle of the day fucking Tony Fenton or whatever, like, you know, all of a sudden having the, like, I wonder, was some part of their brain when that started happening going, oh no, do I have to say stuff about this? I'm drowning.
So there's something happening in America.
We'll get back to it after Tony's Just a Minute quiz.
Anyway, listen, so there's Derry Girls. A friend of mine seems to think doesn't like it because she finds that they were overacting, which I think is maybe a little bit fair.
Yeah, but they're playing teenagers, you know, like, wouldn't be as funny if you got actual teenagers to do it. Like, you needed, like, I think you needed people with a little bit of distance from it, like, so they can take the piss out of it a little bit more. Like, they work, like, you want the main actor in it now is... does some serious overacting.
She's
like,
laying it on thick.
Yeah, but it's okay because it's funny. Like, the most important thing about a show like that is that it's funny.
Yeah.
And it was really funny.
Yeah, I found it hilarious.
It's like that time
and
they were...
it just got better and better and better until the very last episode, which I thought was... I wish they'd gone out on a wee bit more of a high, but it was...
Well, I suppose maybe she was just thinking, well... like, you know, maybe the writer was kind of thinking, I need to put something real in here about the Troubles. I can't just be taking the piss out of it, like, you know.
Yeah, but was it real? I mean, I don't know that it added that much.
Yeah, no, I don't think it did. I think it was, like, but maybe what they had just wasn't enough to end a series with, you know.
Mm.
Also, the thing you have to remember about so many series is that they are kind of writing it under the gun. Once the pilot gets made, I think that the next few of them are written like week on, like as they're being made almost. Like, I don't think there's not an awful lot of time to dilly-dally with these things. So I think that's why bad episodes of things get made, because they just have to be finished by a date. Mm. And maybe if she'd had another 2 weeks to write it, like, you know.
It wasn't a bad episode.
No, it was still really good. And the bit of them all dancing at the end of the episode I thought was brilliant.
It was genuinely funny, yeah.
Yeah.
Poor fucking Orla.
She's a dick.
She's
maybe hard. She's my dick.
Yeah, it was good. Anyway, listen,
we bounce on.
Yeah, we better, because we're already over an hour in.
So Niall, I got you to listen to a compilation. Marky Smith passed away a couple of weeks ago, lead singer of The Fall.
I loved him in 50 Shades of Grey.
But
that's a guy from The Fall joke that I stole off Kermode and Mayo, basically.
We've stolen this whole show from Kermode and Mayo, so it's alright.
We wish. Go on.
Which, just because we stole it doesn't mean we know what to do with it.
The dogs that caught the car. Yeah.
That's the thing my boss at work always says, my team leader, he's got this habit of just going, some days you're the dog, some days you're the lamppost. But I got you to listen to a compilation album called 50,000 Fall Fans Can't Be Wrong, which I believe is a takeoff of an Elvis compilation, which was called 50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong, or 100 million Elvis fans, something like that. You know?
Oh, Elvis had 50 million.
And it's the same cover. Like the album cover, the Fall one, is the same cover, except it's got a picture of Marky Smith instead of the Elvis one.
That's interesting.
Someone was kind enough to put it together as a playlist on Spotify, because the actual album isn't there. Okay. But someone curated it on our behalf, Niall, and then I further curated it for you.
Thanks be to fuck, because I wasn't getting to the end of that. Like, it simply wasn't happening.
Again, look, I will preface this by saying I'm by no means a Fall expert. I saw them live at Electric Picnic one year, and they were brilliant.
Yeah.
Really good. And
what were they, stamping tickets, or?
I'm being a prick.
But what was I going to say? I just never really got into them. They're difficult, but it's like getting into the Grateful Dead. There's like fucking umpteen fucking albums. They pretty much put out an album a year since 1977.
Okay.
So there's a lot to be getting on with, like, you know.
That's a lot of albums.
More albums than Dylan, I think. You know, it's a lot of albums. Like,
it's not necessarily
positive
or negative thing to say, like.
Yeah. But let me see. I'm gonna go we're gonna play a little bit of something. This is probably the one I enjoyed the most out of the ones I heard, and this is called How I Wrote Elastic Man. is how I wrote Elastic Man. Although it sounds like he's saying how I wrote Plastic Man, doesn't it? Although I think the idea behind the song is that it's a guy who's written a sci-fi novel and people keep coming up to him and asking him what it's about, but they keep calling it the wrong thing. It's called Elastic Man, but when they come up to ask him about it, they keep asking him how he wrote Plastic Man. Which is like, you would never get that from listening to it. I only know that because only today, I wish I'd found it a few days ago, but I found a website today called The Annotated Fall. And it's taken these songs and you can read the lyrics, but also read about what he's referencing and like interviews he's given about the songs and this kind of stuff. But like, he references, like he's mad into Philip K. Dick and H.P. Lovecraft and all these
things. Was he actually referencing the real Elastic Man there?
He might have been. Like, was there a book called Elastic Man?
Well, it was a superhero, Elastic Man. Yeah.
It must be, yeah.
And there was a superhero, Plastic Man, and they had basically the same powers. Although they're very different characters.
Plastic Man's kind of silly, isn't he? Like,
Yeah, but in a kind of...
There was a clam with a hat on, as I recall.
What?
In the cartoon. Wasn't the bad guy a clam with a hat?
What cartoon?
The Plastic Man cartoon.
There was a Plastic Man cartoon?
You ever seen it, no? That's the only reason I know who he is, like...
Wow, no, I just know him as the... Plastic Man.
I used to watch it, and Captain Caveman.
Oh, wow. Is that the same guy?
What do you mean?
Was that like the superhero? Are we thinking of the same guy? Plastic Man?
Kind of shades.
Yeah, white shades. Yeah. Red costume.
Yeah, that's Plastic. That's the only reason I know who he is, because it was a cartoon.
I didn't even know there was a cartoon.
I think it might have even had a good theme tune that I can't remember.
He was in Morrison's Justice League.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh.
He was kind of cool. He was this sort of sleazy...
Sleazy Plastic Man.
Yeah, anyway, it doesn't matter.
But
so that's what that song's about.
Apparently so, yeah.
I have to say, I did not get that.
So, Stuart Lee's favourite band, apparently.
Unsurprisingly. I don't...
And apparently, in later years, when Marky Smith got to know who Stuart Lee was a little bit, because Stuart Lee would go and see The Fall, like, he was saying, I was listening to a podcast, actually today, with Stuart Lee on it, and he was saying that when The Fall would play like a four-night residency somewhere in London, if he wasn't working, he'd go to all four nights kind of thing. And he said he started sort of recognising his own... He's just thinking, did he just say my name? Because in the middle of a load of... Stuart Lee! But in the middle of a load of slurring or whatever, like, you know, and he's just like, am I being referenced here? Which is kind of... Maybe that's why Stuart Lee, when he's... You know the way he takes the piss out of like James Corden and all these people?
Yeah.
Does he feel like, well... Marky Smith is my hero and he takes the piss out of me and I'm cool with it, so...
I don't know. How would you know when he was taking... Does he slur a lot?
Yeah.
That's okay, because I was half kind of afraid it's just... I find this impossible to focus on.
But...
Like there was something, like he was speaking quite clearly, but nothing was going in my head. Marky Smith, like,
how I wrote Elastic Man. But I kind of like those spiky riffs, those kind of post-punk kind of riffs, and but I don't like a lot of those bands. Like, I'm not really mad about like Joy Division or some of these bands, but I could get into The Fall, because the thing as well that's about it.
Are they more that than even Joy Division?
But, no, but I think The Fall are kind of funny. Like, they're funny to listen to. Like when I saw him, I didn't understand a word he said all night when I saw him. And he got into the habit in later years of saying, at the end of every word. I went, to the shop, You know, and that's after every line. It's actually kind of, I watched a clip of their very last gig, and he was all swollen because he was on some kind of medication that he had an allergic reaction to, and he was in a wheelchair. He'd had a stroke. So he did not look after himself.
What was he doing on the gig?
Just wanted to do it, you know. Just Jesus went down Christ. Swinging. Somebody would
push him out.
Well, he was all swollen in a chair and he couldn't move. Like he was all, you know, and his voice was all fucked up. Like it was pretty sad to see. Like, but he was not a man who looked after himself, you know. And he was a pretty belligerent dude as well.
I don't know. I couldn't make inroads into it. 110%, I couldn't. I listened to it a couple of nights at the gym, to the big long one, the 50,000 Fall fans. And
that must have been some workout.
It was at the end of the second night. No, that's bullshit. Not at the end of the second night. Halfway through the second night, I'd finished The Power of the Glory on Audible, but I still had a credit left, so I went in and got the new Jack Reacher. So I finished up listening to the new Jack Reacher on Audible. I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, no, I, you know what? I didn't expect you to love it, but I just wanted to I just thought it'd be worth talking about, you know.
What kind of music is that?
It is kind of post-punk. It start, like, it was, yeah, it was, it's, he sort of started around the time punk was already punk. Like, you know, like, 1977 is kind of known as the year of punk, but, I mean, most of the bands involved had been around since 75, like, because something, it, you know, when a scene becomes a scene, there's people that have been involved in it since 2 or 3 years before that.
Before it was a scene.
So he was, this guy kind of came around in 77 when that was a thing, so a lot of those bands who were influenced by punk, it was kind of more post-punk. And rather than just being like the Pistols, like being sort of snotty and singing about fucking what a dick everybody was or whatever, it was a little bit more, I don't know, like, I like the, like, the lyrics that I can pick out, I like them, you know, I like the lyrics, like, what's the spoiled Victorian child?
Yeah,
like,
what the fuck was that one about?
Let's say a bit of that. I really liked it, like, I think you're allowed to just think it's weird and funny, like, you know, it doesn't, like, I wasn't necessarily going
weird, like, but
yeah, I mean, here's spoiled Victorian child. Blast of Spoiled Victorian Child by the Fall. You're just not having it, really.
Well, what's it about? Like, I have no idea what he's talking about.
I honestly, personally, I really don't give a shit. Like, you know, I like the sort of mess of the whole thing. I like the sound of it. I like just, like, he's just it's just like these strings and strings of images and words, and you can pick some of it out and some of it you can't. Like, I just kind of like it, you know? I don't really need it to be
like a soup.
I don't need to sort of sit around and study every word of it. And, you know, also, it is a band. Like, now, there's been 40-odd members of The Fall. Like, he...
Okay.
It wasn't like it was the same band all those years. Like, he would... there was points in the early 80s where they were literally, like, beating each other up on stage. And apparently one of the lads got kicked out of the tour bus somewhere in, like, a forest. Somewhere, like... He was apparently a really difficult man. You know, Marky Smith. Yeah, he wasn't...
Is anything to Marky Mark?
I don't know. I doubt it.
Good answer.
But I know a Dundalk musician who I won't name in case he doesn't want to be associated with that apparently met him and didn't have a good... I think that he might have even pulled a knife on him, this guy. Marky Smith pulled a knife on him. Okay. Or he got very... Apparently, Marky Smith asked this man for a cigarette lighter, and when your man said, "Oh, I don't have one," apparently Marky Smith, like, shoved him up against the wall. And maybe now that I think about it, pulling a knife on him sounds a bit extreme, but he definitely, like, got him by the throat.
That sounds extreme too.
Allegedly.
Carpe jugulum.
So
go for the throat.
But I don't know. I'm a little bit more familiar with it than you are, but not obscenely so.
So who would their contemporaries be then? We're talking who?
I suppose at that time, it would have been like Joy Division. It would have been like Wire.
A little bit easier to get into Joy Division.
Speaking
of someone who's not really into Joy Division.
Joy Division, I can't really be doing with Joy Division, really.
I love the Half Man, Half Biscuit song. You know what Joy Division Oven Gloves?
No, what's that? All right, we have to find that. What does it go like?
It's like, you think it's too hot? Yeah, but guess what? I got me Joy Division oven gloves. Anytime I desire, stick me fingers in the fire. Whip me Joy Division oven gloves.
It's an amazing song.
I'm going to check that out. Half Man, Half Biscuit.
Yeah.
Joy Division Oven Gloves.
Joy
right,
Division
man.
Oven Gloves, yeah. Apropos of nothing.
See, I think I might have jumped the gun in picking this now because I feel like we don't have a super a lot to talk about.
I wasn't even mad at it. It was just like sound, like it was just noise in my
but
ears.
But that's all right, though. Like, I mean, obviously, you either like it or you don't, like, you know, but sometimes it's all right for something just to be a load of noise and shouting. Like, you couldn't hang your hat in it forever, like, you know, but.
No.
If you. I don't know, I kind of. That kind of music, you know.
What kind of music is that, like?
Well, I mean, it's like the. It's really well played. Like, it's well.
Post-punk postcard fair.
What's that?
That's Joy Division Oven Gloves as well. I've been here and I've been there. Let me Joy Division Oven Gloves. Been to a post-punk postcard fair. Let me Joy Division Oven. That's in my head now.
No, you're not going to shift that. That sounds catchy.
It's very catchy.
But I don't know. See, this is the thing. I don't know much about him, so maybe it was a bad idea to pick it.
Well, you know what he did to our unnamed.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you when we're done.
Countryman.
Like,
oh, I think I know.
But, you know, I just think he was one of these guys that just, like, fucking did not play the game, had no interest in playing the game, did his thing, and did it every day of his life until he died. Literally, he was on stage in a wheelchair post-stroke with a bloated fucking complexion from having some kind of weird reaction to his medication and just went down swinging the sword, like, you know.
Mark Kermode loves him. Stuart Lee loves him. I don't feel that they have betrayed anything by settling down to raise children in a relatively peaceful, quiet, middle-class way.
No, neither do
I. In fact, I feel like maybe they've grown up a little bit. I have a problem with those guys who are like, well, he never compromised, he did it all, he did it, he stayed, he talked the talk, and he walked the walk, the day he died. That means when he was, how he understood the world when he was 15... If he lived to be 100, he still understood the world that way when he was 100. And you shouldn't. You really shouldn't.
Well, I don't know enough about him to comment on that. He's written an autobiography.
Well, I don't know anything about him either. But if that's his fucking selling point, like, I would just... That's not fucking integrity. That's stasis. That's, like, suspended animation. Like, you can't live like that. You have to grow up.
But what if you're living in suspended animation at a point in your life where, almost by complete accident, you were right?
Nobody's right for every situation all the time. You can be right for a specific situation. No, only you could be, but only by changing how you're right.
Yeah, no, I was only joking. I know what you mean.
You can't. It's grand to be one way when you're fucking 17, and you probably should be that way when you're 17. I think I should have been a bit more like that when I was 17. But what I've also discovered, becoming single in my 30s, is it's often inappropriate to be that way when you're in your 30s.
I know what you're saying, yeah. I mean,
you have to change. If you don't change, there's something wrong with you. I'm thinking out loud now. I don't know the man. Maybe he just came out on stage that night in a very unusual moment. Like,
spoiled Victorian child.
Spoiled Victorian child! Spoiled Victorian child!
I'm going to play a bit of this one that I like pretty much just for the sort of horror movie guitar riff that's on it. It's one of the late... I think this one is from maybe... I think this one might be from like 2004 or something like that. So that's... like 30 years after the one we've just listened to. And this is called Crop Dust. We'll be right back.
Just say the brutal fraction sprouts all over the house and the garden.
I mean, maybe, but is there anything wrong with that, really?
Yeah, what does that mean?
I mean, I'm sure it means something to him, but I honestly just think I think that's funny.
I haven't the key to putting his lock down, the man.
Yeah, I mean,
you said it was a good riff. It was probably a good riff. That was fair enough.
I mean, it's good in that I like the sound of it. Like, you know.
Yeah, maybe I don't have the musical nous.
But that's okay.
I was sitting here at fucking 4:30 Friday night trying to figure out the chords to... What's the song from Inner Space?
Inner Space?
Yeah, you know Inner Space?
No.
Martin Short and Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan?
No, I've never seen it.
Oh, it's awesome. 12-year-old Niall would be saying, "It's awesome!" Right? So I still kind of think of it that way because I've seen it since.
But what's the song? Like, who sings it?
Cupid, draw back your bow and let your arrow go home.
What is that?
Straight to my lover's heart. I don't know. It's the song from Innerspace. It's not the song from Innerspace. It is a genuine song.
Was it Cupid's heart? Is that what you said?
No, Cupid, draw back your bow. I don't know the lyrics. I don't know what song it is.
Right.
It must be My Lover's Heart.
And is it like, was it written for the film or is it a song in and of its own right? Is it a fall song?
No, it's a popular song.
Cupid's bow.
Cupid, draw back your bow.
Draw back your bow. No, Cupid, and walking around the garden. Cupid, the monster. A plastic bag full of syringes from Toys R Us.
I don't know, Dan. I don't know. It's a strange one.
That's fair enough. It was actually a bad pick because now I'm no expert on it, and we've nothing to say about it.
I really don't have anything to say about it. It literally made no impression on me whatsoever. Like,
I don't think that's true, though.
Why?
Because you didn't like it. Surely that's an impression.
But I didn't like. I wasn't angry with it or anything. Like, sometimes you give me stuff that I got angry with.
Yeah, but give me a fucking Taylor Swift or something, like, you know, you get angry at it. Like, you know,
I don't know that I would. Maybe Taylor Swift. I hear Taylor Swift's supposed to be very good, does she not?
The stuff she had out, like, Shake It Off and all that's good, but, man, that stuff she has out now.
We should do Beyonce's one. What's Beyonce's one?
Lemonade. But yeah. You listen to it.
No.
Well, I mean, see, do you like it and then swap it?
50 million Beyonce fans can't be wrong, though.
50,000 Fall fans are. I don't know. I literally don't know what to say. I was listening to it in the gym, and I was just bored. Like, I was just like,
I
have no idea what he's saying. It's just going on like me, sir. And I was like, okay, all right. Well, I don't know what you're saying. I really don't like.
I just think the fact that it exists is brilliant.
Well, I'm glad nobody stopped him. I would hate to think if, you know...
He was being censored in any way.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're censoring me.
You're censoring me. Yes, very good.
Yeah, that's exactly
what's happening. Oh, dear old. Do you think the nun's gay in Derry Girls?
Oh, it's possible, yeah.
She,
I loved her presenting the talent show when you can hear her walk back on the stage and going, "I'm not doing this again next year. I said it last year."
I just remember when they were singing, what were they singing, the girls?
I don't know what that song was. I'm sure it was wet, a famous
wet, wet.
Song.
It was Wet, Wet, Wet. It was one for four words and a few.
Oh, I thought you meant on the talent show. I don't know what that song was.
What was the Wet, Wet, Wet one?
It's the cover of the Trogs. Love is all around.
Love is all around. I thought I banned that one, did I not? The power of love. Love is in the air.
Love is all the love.
No. Put it on the list. Anyway, but it was the very last episode where she almost smile when it turned out that Erin had disobeyed her and published the lesbian paper?
Yeah, I didn't really get that. Yeah, she was like cool with it.
I kind of half think that nun might be gay. I kind of half think a lot of nuns and priests are gay.
Yeah, no, I get you.
It's a nice alternative to be that.
Yeah, it sort of, Yeah, no.
It's a way of not having to deal with it.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're so inclined.
But it's taking off. It's not having to deal with that, but it's having to deal with a lot of other shit instead of it. Like,
it's not a good reason to get into a very tough profession.
I don't think you can hide in the priesthood the way you used to be able to.
Apparently, did you hear about that in Maynooth?
I don't think so.
Grindr was one of the busiest Grindr spots in Ireland.
Maynooth is?
Now, it's a college town, so fair enough. But apparently the seminary was a bit of a hotbed. So I think that's a fairly common path for young religious men.
Okay.
I promised God if I hadn't done anything with my life by the time I was 25, I'd become a priest.
So what did you do by 25 that made you not have to...
I realized God's man of the world. He understands these things.
He's literally the man of the world.
Yeah.
God's world, baby, you're just living in it. So I figured he wouldn't hold it against me.
Honest to fuck, you did that, like.
I was quite, yeah, just to myself. Like, I didn't stand up at mass and make an announcement around.
God, now. Niall here. You know me.
I
sort of think more highly of Superman than I do of you.
Well, I feel like yous are very much in the same end of the swimming pool, is what I'd be saying. Like, but. Yeah, I promised I'd do that, and then...
He'd be like, yeah, we're the same end of the swimming pool. I put the fucking water in!
But, I did kind of take it seriously. I can see how that would be.
No, I get you. That's...
By the time I was 25, I had...
What age were you when you kind of decided that, though? Were you like 9, or...?
No, I was about 15. I was, okay. In fact, I know I was 15. I kind of made that. I was like, all right, I'll do that.
Was there a thing you did by the time you turned 25 that you were thought, well, I have to see this through?
Guess.
Lose your virginity?
Might have had something to do with it. It's like, oh, this is nice.
Yeah, this is much better.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm a weak man in many ways, Danny.
Well, I mean, to be fair, you're not alone there.
It's not really an excuse.
But it's an excuse for an insane promise you made. When you were 15.
It strikes me I must have been very naive as a teenager.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I suppose. But you were a simple country boy, Niall. You weren't up here in the big bad city with me.
No, that's true. But even among country boys, I feel like I must have been quite naive.
In what way?
I fucking promised God I'd be a priest if I didn't do anything with my life by the time I was 25.
Yeah, but when you're that age, you think, God, it looks fucking easy. Like, you know, what are they doing all day?
Yeah.
Like, the fucking, the priests at the Marist had their own house. Like, you know, you're just like, this could be...
Yeah, so the priests said
that. You don't have to fucking go shopping or any of that shit. Like,
housekeeper,
you know,
does it for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just that's be left true. Alone to, and you don't have to talk to girls, they're terrifying.
They
you
are know, terrifying. They are, though.
You know.
They really are, they're still terrifying. So I was given... I don't know whether I should really be announcing this, but here we are, and I'm going to. Names will be changed to protect identities, Daniel.
Okay, fair enough.
But on Friday...
I knew there was more to this Friday night than met the eye.
Oh, no, this is a different thing altogether. Oh, no, okay. It was just, the Friday night was just, it just happened to be a late one, and I had, what did I have, about half of that fucking box of Heineken left?
It's enough, you had enough beer to have another bit of a session.
Well, we had a session, Mark and me and Claire, and Mark was asleep quite early after arriving here, so me and Claire made fucking hymns of that. No, we didn't. I said we made a fucking dent in that fucking
all right, okay.
Box of Heineken.
Were you doing that thing? But there was only the two of us. Like, you were like falling asleep while the other person was talking.
I yawned once.
Really, man, that's sturdy. I feel like I'm by about 9:45. I'd be like that, like, you know.
Well, no,
if I sit on any kind of comfortable seat for any length of time, I just start.
Yeah, well, look, it was grand. It was
because I haven't had a comfortable piece of furniture all to my own since I was about fucking 20.
I remember you saying that.
Fucking, it's an interesting take on it. I've literally been uncomfortable for more than a decade.
Would you sit in a rocking chair?
Oh yeah, I would.
I love a rocking chair.
Yeah.
I can't wait till I'm old enough to properly have a proper rocking chair.
You couldn't be sliding all over the tiles in here. You couldn't have it.
Mm. Well, I had a rocking chair in where I lived before.
Did you sit in it much?
Yeah, I loved it. It was one of those with a rocking stool as well.
Oh, really? So just, what happened on Friday? I've distracted you.
Oh yeah, I forgot all about that. I'm sitting there and I'm late, right? And I know I'm meeting Kamel. So I'm there late in work and it's about, I don't know, it's about 7:15 or something. And I'm not that close to the end, you know, that kind of way.
Yeah.
And then one of the girls at work, I get a message, comes up on my Skype, on the office Skype. Niall, I'm really sorry about this. Can I ask you something? And I thought, oh God, another fucking job now on top of everything else. But I like her. She's nice. She's cool. This particular girl. And she goes, I have a friend who I told about you, and if you want, I can give you her number. So I was like, oh, okay.
That was not what I was expecting.
No, you don't expect to see that on the work Skype.
No, yeah.
You expect it to be an account number followed by the phrase, sort this out.
Yeah, essentially, or emergency RLB Niall.
When I get those things on, when I see something pop up on the Skype that's not like one of the people I would talk to, I'm always like, oh, what did I do? What?
Exactly
the same. I'm only one man.
That's what I do. Every morning I walk into work, open the emails and just check for something that's gone wrong with something I've done. Like, you know, that's what I just quick. And most of the time it's not there, but it never takes away the fear.
Yeah, no, I guess, yeah.
Because it has been there occasionally.
Yeah, I've had a few moments now.
Yeah, that's the way.
Can't help it. There's too much responsibility given to us. Of course things are going to fuck up.
We're middle 30s, like, I'm 37.
I know, yeah, but
I'm edging at the late 30s, frankly.
I'm 36 this year.
I should have responsibility. I am the perfect age for responsibility, like, you know.
You're a bit old for it, if anything.
Yeah.
You're going to be getting to the point there where it's like,
it should be easing back.
It's a bit out of touch. You know, but what happened with this number?
We took her number. I was like, yeah, all right. Does she know that you're giving me your number? And she was like, I told her if she didn't want me to give you her number, to contact me before Thursday. I was like,
wow, that's a serious. What'd she contact her? 2015?
I don't know. She's like, this is so embarrassing. And I'm like, it's not. Why is this embarrassing? But at the same time, I kind of knew. Yeah, you're right. It is a little bit embarrassing. I'm just not sure why. But it was, yeah, it was a weird one. So I texted her from Matt Brady's when I was hungover.
Did you get a message back?
Yeah, but it was from the girl at work who had accidentally given me her own number. I was like, did I give you the wrong number? I was like, I don't know. Is that Sinead? And she's like, hang on. I just checked the Skype. Yeah, I gave you my number. But send this exact message. That was pretty good.
What did you say that was so good?
I'm not saying. It was just a hello message. But then we texted back and forth a bit. And I don't know. I feel like I come across very vanilla. Very vanilla. For a shocking, interesting man, I feel like I come across vanilla.
Well, I mean,
over text and over Tinder and that stuff.
Okay, but I mean, what is the, you know, what's the, what would you rather, to come across as like being, I don't know about this guy, he seems to have an awful lot going on.
No, clearly not, but are they your only choices?
It's very hard to imply fucking roguishness on a text message, you know.
Here's a picture with my finger up to my mouth like Dr. Evil. You never know.
Yeah, no, I get you. I don't know. I was in a situation when I was single that I was like, I was not going out with this girl, but I had met up with her a couple of times, and we had this amazing text relationship. Not dirty in it, but like, she just came across in text as like super witty, and we'd have these really long text conversations back and forth, pre-smartphone, you know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then when I was in her company, just wasn't the same at all.
Yeah.
And I started thinking, is she getting someone else to write these messages for her? Like, what's going on? Like,
no, it's not that. Excuse me, because I have been that person. That happens a lot on Tinder.
Okay.
And I feel like text Niall is the best. Niall at a distance is how you really want to enjoy Niall.
Is that Niall?
Exactly. Look at the possibilities when it might be anything, Danny.
This Niall is small, but that Niall is I'm good, actually. Thanks, man. But that's... Yeah, I did have that situation. Like, nothing came of it. She was really nice and everything, but it's just like when we were together in person, it just didn't gel, you know.
No, I absolutely get you. I have been that guy, the not gelling guy. with people who I've like spent like 2-3 weeks
getting on like a house on fire, you know, over Tinder. Like, yeah. It's weird, isn't it?
It's the only, like, look, I was not the most, I've been in a long-term relationship most of the time, so I'm not the most, I don't really have that many single stories, because when I was single,
neither do I.
I was usually like,
I've told them all on this fucking podcast.
Yeah, it's accused of all your juice on the podcast, but I was usually either sort of just stopped going out with someone or going out with someone, you know, so there was never that much, like, and it, like,
serial monogamist.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Hugh Grant in Four Weddings.
And I, like, I must hold some sort of record for being in a band and it never working, you know, never paying off for me in that way, like, you know, that.
What do you mean?
Like, I literally never ever got, like, with a woman because of being in a band, which, like, even rotten musicians and seriously ugly men in bands,
Lemmy,
seem, yeah, they seem more interesting because they play a guitar or
even
whatever.
Lemmy,
you know,
gets his hole. Yeah. That should be the title. That should be the title of your autobiography. Even Lemmy gets his hole. Even Marky Smith presumably did.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, his wives were in the band. Like, he had two wives in that band over the years. One of them was this super glamorous American woman who was a Fall fan, who saw him out, who moved to England to find him.
Oh, like, no, that's weird. You shouldn't marry that
But
person.
Mark Maron was with someone like that as well. Like,
oh,
it was,
yeah, yeah. Oh, well, if Mark Maron does it.
He's on in Vicker Street in April. I kind of want to get tickets.
You going to go see?
I think I will, yeah. I think I need to go and see Mark Maron, because I like all his albums, you know.
Well, to each his own, Dan. See if you can get an interview with him.
Yeah, yeah. Mark! He's waving the Zoom in the air, you know.
I'm a super fan!
He's like, oh, fucking some prick with a podcast now.
How many of those people do you reckon he meets someday?
Well, it's his fucking fault.
Yeah, kind
of. That was the first podcast I kind of got into that wasn't just a podcast of a radio show. Mm. I was really into Kermode, but as far as podcasts went, I didn't really listen to that many. And then I got into WTF. So it's kind of, this whole thing is kind of his fault.
Everything is Mark Maron's fault.
Yeah. If you're bored right now, listener, Mark Maron.
Yeah.
Tweet him. Go to Vicker Street and say, you.
Make your displeasure felt.
Yeah.
Actually, don't. He doesn't deserve that.
No, it's not his fault.
No.
Jeez, we went back in that.
It's not movie. His fault, it's his fault.
That was a very quick roll out and roll back on blaming Mark Maron for this.
Oh, yeah. It's like on Peep Show. I shouldn't have to be responsible for my actions. I just do my actions.
I saw Richard Herring interviewing David Mitchell on Richard Herring's podcast. Mm-hmm. I think it was an old one because I was just like scrolling down through a few of them and Richard Herring, and he was interviewing David Mitchell. And I always kind of thought David Mitchell kind of relied on a lot of scripted stuff to be funny, but he was really funny on this interview with Richard Herring. Which is weird because I used to get the two of them a little bit mixed up. I used to kind of think who? David Mitchell was Richard Herring.
What? Really?
I don't know. For some reason, I got the two of them kind of mixed up in my head. They have similar voices.
Maybe.
Particularly when Richard, as part of the Lian Herring double act, Richard Herring's voice was kind of annoying. He would sort of amplify it a bit, and he did sound a bit like David Mitchell.
I have to say, I wouldn't be a huge Herring fan there.
Me neither, but he has really good people on his podcasts. Like
he does.
Like
yeah.
Armando
Iannucci
was
on
one, and
yeah,
you know,
listened to a few.
And, you know, Steve Coogan's been on it.
Mm-hmm.
But
Steve Coogan.
I love the.
Did you hear the cunt song?
No.
From the trip, from one of the trips.
I don't think so. No, what was it?
It's Steve Coogan.
I mean, if it's in the first two seasons, I've seen it, but I don't remember it.
No, I don't think. I think it's the newest one. Maybe it's not, but no, I think it is. It's. You know, everyone's a bit of a cunt sometimes.
Oh,
everyone's
yeah,
a bit
yeah.
of a cunt sometimes.
I think I have heard it, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
But he, I used to, the Fist of Fun radio show is very funny. Like, the TV show is good, but the radio show is very funny.
Hmm.
And it's like, what was it, like, did you know that, Richard Herring has all these, like, because it's the Richard Herring Stuart Lee double act, and he's talking about having sex with a fly. And he was like, you know, and the great thing about having sex with a fly is that a gnat's chuff is literally as tight as a Nat's chuff. I'm going to stop you there, Rich. See, what you've done is you've misused the art of simile. It's very funny. It's great stuff. Like,
all right.
Some week we'll swap it.
Okay.
Because it's like, I don't know, they're like 6 sort of 20-minute episodes. They're all live in front of audiences, like, you know.
Okay.
And it's actually more crack to listen to it than it is to watch the show, I feel.
Okay. They're not good-looking, man.
No. Stuart Lee, people fancied Stuart Lee in the day.
Did they?
Yeah, because he kind of had like a indie rock look about him.
Yeah, I can imagine types that were fancying him.
Not so much now, I'd imagine.
No, but even then I'd say there was a particular kind of...
Yeah, maybe so.
Not necessarily unattractive lady, but...
I feel like Stuart Lee kind of is to a lot of comedy fans, but maybe Marky Smith is to a lot of music fans. Like, there are comedy fans out there who really think that Stuart Lee has no idea what he's doing, like...
But that's demonstrably untrue.
Yeah. Like, people... The amount of people that have said to me, like, oh, I don't really like that anti-comedy. And you're like, nobody... What's anti-comedy? This, like... Isn't, like, fucking... Like... I don't know. Tragedy. Isn't that anti-comedy? Like, you know... No one trying to be funny is thinking, oh, I'm going to make anti... I'd love to be an anti-comedian. Like, no one thinks like that, you know?
Comedians do, surely.
I don't think they do. I think that's, like, bullshit that people who aren't funny try to... call their comedy.
Comedians. I'll be a prick. I don't mean to be a prick.
We could... do we have any more? Should we wrap it up?
I'm interested in the idea that he married his own stalker.
This is... Well, she... As far as the story I know, this is... Her name is Bricks. She was an American musician. She had her own band. And she joined The Fall. Actually, a lot of the more sort of bigger hits... Did you listen to the cover they did of Victoria?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a Kinks song. Like.
Yeah, I just...
It's going to be pretty good. Like.
I just thought it was a cool cover.
I would sooner listen to the Kinks.
Well, I mean, yeah. Listen to if you're going to be like that.
I mean, there were a couple. I liked the pharmacist one. Well,
Mr. Pharmacist.
Yeah, because I could understand what he was saying in it. Like.
I can understand what he's saying in most of it, but I think it's like... I think it's... You know what? I thought you might see something in those lyrics that maybe I didn't, because apparently he's a mad fucking Philip K. Dick, mad Lovecraft fan, and I thought, like, sci-fi is a big thing for him, so I thought maybe you'd pick up on stuff that maybe I didn't, like, but...
I swear to
God. Now, this is a pretty broad smattering of fucking 40 years of music, like, you know.
I swear to almighty God, I don't think I could quote you a line from one of those fucking songs. I couldn't make out what he was saying. I could make out what he was saying in the pharmacist song, and literally just today, I happened to be fucking lying on the bed reading an article about Ian Banks's culture, and I had it on in the background, and it suddenly occurred to me I was actually getting the words of the song, and I thought, that's weird, that's one I haven't heard before, and then the chorus came on, and it was how I wrote Elastic Man.
Again.
And I was like, I must have heard that song 3 times. The first time any lyrics actually made sense to me, and that's when I was thinking, shit, maybe he's not unclear, maybe there's just something about this music that I literally can't focus on. It's just something about it that's just,
I think,
actually not, it just won't go in my head. Like
that, we'll take a quick blast at the one you're talking about, Mr. Pharmacist.
Okay. Mr. Pharmacist,
dear pharmacist, won't you please give me some energy? Help! see, that's kind of a rockabilly sort of one. It's not, like, musically it's pretty straightforward. So some of them that are musically weird and lyrically weird, there's nowhere to really get your footing with them, like, you know.
I think it's
one of those things that I remember the first time I heard Paranoid Android. You know that song, the Radiohead song?
Yeah, Radiohead, yeah.
I remember the first time I heard it, I was like, is this even music? What is this? Like, you know, it just, you know, I really didn't like it. I remember Dave Fanning kept playing, every night Dave Fanning played it, and the next night I was like, this fucking song again. I wasn't a Radiohead fan at the time, but then I found it sort of staying in my head a bit, and then after a while when it would come on, I would turn it up, even though I still didn't like it that much. It was almost like wiggling a sore tooth or something, like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then after like 5 or 6 listens, I was like, oh, this is brilliant. This is brilliant.
What changed?
I don't know. It's just like something... Like, you know, the other way you'll hear loads of stuff and think nothing of it. Like, you know, if... I don't think there's that much difference between really hating something and really loving something. You know, like...
No, you're probably right about that. But I can't even say I hated that. Like,
see, this is the thing, though. You just found it odd and you weren't really... It was kind of getting on your nerves a little bit.
It's like some kid just jumped out of a bush and shot me with a Nerf dart. And it's like... And then ran away. And it's like... Nothing about my day has changed because I felt it. It definitely happened, but nothing about my day has changed because of this.
Yeah, but that's like, that's not a great, like, I think they are one of those bands that if you were to really re-listen, I think it's, you'd get what he was doing and what the song was about and stuff. But I think if you don't either love it or hate it the first time you hear it, if you just think, oh, really? You're not going to really...
That's the problem with this format. We've said that before.
Yeah.
That's what happened. That's what has made me since come to regret my character assassination of poor AC Newman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that album's brilliant. Like,
yeah, it's really good. I was listening to it in work just before Christmas, actually, but I was back listening to it in work.
And, like, the new Pornographers to his band are, like, much bigger than he is as a solo artist, but I think that's one of my favourite albums. I think it's fucking brilliant. Like...
Hmm.
But no, but it's that thing. Oh, go ahead.
No, I. The same girl at work. It just occurred to me there. The same girl at work who gave me that number, where I singularly failed to impress over text. She had ordered for her kind of wedding present for herself. She got married there recently. Some kind of 20th anniversary edition of, was it the Benz?
Oh, really?
Some Radiohead thing, but it came in a big. Like a hardback.
I think it was OK Computer. Was it a white cover? Yeah, it's OK Computer. Because it's got a thing, it's got like a cassette shaped hard drive with a load of demos and stuff on it. Like it's a big deal. It's a really well packaged. Like,
it looked absolutely fucking beautiful now.
Because
it came to work, like it got delivered to work. And everybody does that. I use Parcel Motel.
Where is that?
Parcel Motel.
Yeah. Is that the thing down at Tesco's?
There's a few of them. There's one down... Yeah, there could be one at Tesco's maybe, but there's definitely one at the Marshes. There's definitely one at...
Didn't it get broken into the other night? I think one of them got broken into, yeah.
Bastards. Maybe I will just get them delivered to work. But it's uncomfortable asking people to pick up your dildos and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Get dildos delivered.
We made 2 hours.
But I reserve the right to...
Yeah, well, I mean, they will give you the right to have stuff delivered to the factory. That's like, you reap what you sow on that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was Derry Girls in the Fall.
Yeah.
Fall might have been too big of a concept to fit into one bit of a podcast. Maybe I should have picked a specific album.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I think I failed our listeners on this one, Niall.
Wouldn't be beating yourself up over it. Like.
Oh, no, I've already forgotten. But just to say, like, you know... I think it was a bad choice. It's a podcast.
It's a podcast. You try these things. I don't know. Maybe I'll go back to the
phone. Anyone out there right now is going 30 seconds.
Okay. Well, listen. That's another 2 hours of our life.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. It was grand.
Cat stopped.
The cat didn't scream once.
Not once. Mr. Pharmacist.
Mr. Pharmacist.
So, okay. For next week, Niall, I want you to watch what's his name? Peel? What's Peel's first name? The director of Get Out. Is it Jordan Peel?
Oh! Jesus, I don't know. I haven't a fucking ball.
Get Out, the movie.
Okay, right.
I'm not telling you to get out of your own house. That would be very rude.
Get Out.
But yeah, okay, I saw it a few nights ago. I fucking loved it.
Yeah, I've had to watch it so many times. Yeah, so that's a good thing. I want you to watch Paul Thomas Anderson and Daniel Day-Lewis's There Will Be Blood.
Okay.
You don't sound enthused.
I don't like the name. Why is there going to be blood?
It's a wonderful film.
Okay. It's not setting me up. Well, I don't like the idea of there being blood.
Oh, I wouldn't worry about it. It's about an oil man.
Okay, well,
it's not gruesome. It's
is
not
it
like
boring?
The human caterpillar or anything? Yes, incredibly so. No, it's not. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful.
All right, guys, thanks very much for listening to the podcast, downloading and all that.
Your troopers.
Yeah, your continued support.
Was that the ABBA song?
That's Super Trooper, isn't it?
Tonight the Super Trooper lights are gonna blind.
I know I'm supposed to like ABBA, and I respect them, but I don't really like them.
Do you respect them?
Yeah, I think that stuff is really well written. It's very musical.
Yeah, it is. It is really well
written. It's like musical architecture.
Music is
solid.
Architecture is frozen music.
Oh, who said that?
I can't remember, but somebody very impressive said it. Yeah, not just me.
It's
like
a hell of a quote. I will say that.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was. I'll look it up for next week.
But that's it. So for next week, There Will Be Blood and Get Out.
Woohoo!
So thanks very much for listening. I've been Daniel Hanlon.
Mm-hmm.
He's been Niall McCann.
Sorry.
Sorry, that was badly timed on my part. That was badly timed on my part. So cheers, guys. We're going to go out with The Man Whose Head Expanded.
Oh, good stuff.
I like that one. Yeah. The man whose head expanded.
It wasn't the worst. Because I could recognize that phrase.
All right. Thanks very much, guys. Cheerio.
Cheerio. The man whose head expanded.